multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
Indeed it is. Why, hello. It is 1 minute and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of June of the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. It is Tuesday, and welcome to Day 12, kids. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to call us about things and topics and subjects and whatnot and so forth and odds and ends and ends. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com with your comments and your clarifications and your things and your other things and things related to the first things and your tangents and your stuff. 503. It all kind of
good one.
Started real strong and then it fell apart at the end there. Those lists never hold up. I always extend those. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email it as rick@rickemerson.com.
You never say P by 70 anymore.
No. No, because I realize that nobody knows what I'm saying. I mean, nobody knows what I'm saying that for. I know this has never stopped us from running other inside jokes into the ground, but if you weren't listening that one day for that one 35-second period, you have no idea why I'm saying it. And plus, it's not like a mnemonic device. If you say it's a mnemonic device, like King Philip Chase's old pet Girl Scouts, that everybody knows what you're talking about. Everybody knows what a mnemonic device is. There is no understood name for that thing that turns a phone number into a word. You know, like that 1-800-COLLECT or whatever it is. Because 503-733-2970 can also be expressed as 1-800... No, I'm doing the 1-800-COLLECT. Can also be expressed as 503-P-by-70. But there's no real name for a telephone number that has been turned into something letter-based. And so if I say 503-P-by-70, it just doesn't make any sense. It just sounds like I've started to speak gibberish. Like Robert Klein, that episode of The Twilight Zone, where he can no longer form the sentences in the English language. It's exactly like that. It's exactly like that episode of The New Twilight Zone with Robert Klein. And that's The New Twilight Zone from the 80s, not the New Twilight Zone from the 90s with Forrest Whitaker as the narrator. It's very important that I draw these distinctions. Without these distinctions, really, without distinctions drawn between the original Twilight Zone from the 50s with Rod Serling as narrator, the second Twilight Zone from the 80s with Burgess Meredith as narrator, and the third Twilight Zone from the 90s with Forrest Whitaker as the narrator, without those things, I cease to exist. I have no definable or demonstrable personality without such distinctions being drawn. It's what I do. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970 or 503-P-by-70 if you'd like to call right now at this very instant, this second, today. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email it's rick@rickemerson.com. Don't feel you need to have a topic or any specific reason or content, or don't feel like you need to have any actual ingredients or substance to your call. You just call in. Scotty J in his drunken slash hungover state will pass you along mindlessly without giving it one thought. All right, here's what's coming, and we'll talk more about them. Is it called alphanumeric conversion? That don't make any sense. You're just making that up. You know, here's the thing, Scotty. Because you are indeed so hungover, and I suspect still a little intoxicated from last night's merriment, which we will talk about here in a while, somebody just called up and used that phrase, and you're just mindlessly reciting it. You are regurgitating it to me like so many Latin adverbs. You have no idea what you're talking about. Yes, I know you are. All right. Here's what's coming up today. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard is going to be joining us from the Hill. We're going to talk about the latest inept, infantile, and impotent, ultimately futile and pointless gesture by the Democrats that's been turned away by the Republicans, because it's what both of them do. The Democrats try to do things, the Republicans lean on them, and the Democrats fold like a house of cards made out of wet card stuff. You know, I wasn't even drinking last night. I don't know why this is affecting me. I don't know why your drunkenness is having some weird sort of...
My drunkenness?
...osmosis effect on me. I feel hungover today for no readily apparent reason. Yeah, whatever.
Should have had those drinks.
I should have.
Awesome.
Well, you know, just I had a little sip of that vodka because it was with that... What was the actual... What was the fish? It wasn't lox. It looked like lox, but it wasn't. What was it?
Oh, the
was
pink fish on the cracker?
Yeah, what was that?
I think it was salmon.
Really? It was fantastic.
It was really good.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that here in a minute. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard going to be joining us today. CNN Radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum will be talking just a little bit more about the Sopranos finale, because David Chase, the creator of the Sopranos, has now weighed in on it. Plus, we'll talk about Michael Moore's new film, which I guess the government is threatening to seize. Because that's what the U.S. government does. So the U.S. government, apparently I'm not sure if they threatened to do it. I don't even know that they've made any official statement. But he apparently is concerned somehow that they're going to be coming in the skedaddling with his film. So he started stashing copies of it. I swear to God, this is true. He started stashing master copies of his film on other continents. What else? CNN Radio correspondent James Roop will talk to us today about Paris Hilton and Phil Spector. We'll talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger. We'll examine why you should never have a bridge built by a blind man. Sarah Dillon's top five drunken karaoke songs of all time. And, some other things. Some other things that are just sort of stacking up and piling up. And, I don't know, we'll spin the topic wheel later on, and we'll get to this thing about kryptonite as well. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It is rick@rickemerson.com. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello, and how are you today?
Not as hungover as Scotty J.
It really is true. There's nobody who's as hungover
as
Scotty J.
It's totally my fault, Mrs. J. If you're listening, I'm sorry. I convinced him to stay out.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll work.
It's not my fault. It is my fault.
It is your fault.
It is my fault.
Ruining yet another marriage.
We even came back to the station and dropped off Scotty's car so that he could come karaoke with us. It was premeditated, and I ruined your night. I'm sorry.
The best part is... Really, well, they're all best parts to me because none of it happened to me. The best part is that apparently he was getting text messages, he says, at the rate of about one every 15 minutes last night from Mrs. J, demanding
Scotty.
That he come home. Oh, Dudley, you act like you didn't know about it.
I didn't know.
That's not true. You told me before the show you knew.
Well, you're not supposed to say that on the air.
You're already admitting that you ruined his night and probably large chunks of his marriage.
Why did not ruin anybody's marriage.
Well, not... I mean, it wasn't entirely your fault. You certainly assisted, though, and that's fine. Everybody's got skills. Everybody's got to be good at something. So, I guess he was getting a lot of messages last night, and we'll go into why this was here in a few minutes. But apparently he was getting a lot of messages that contained phrases like, this is the wrong night for you to be out drinking. Of all nights, you need to be home with your family tonight.
You need to be home with your family?
Which I think he just ignored.
Oh, God.
I'm not even sure if he saved them. I think he might have just deleted them as soon as they came in. I think he might have been just erasing those text messages as soon as he got them last night.
I was trying to send myself because Scotty was making no sense last night. He was hilarious. And we kept calling him Dr. Pepper because he was wearing that pink Dr. Pepper shirt.
Right.
And I think my friend Tuggy couldn't even remember his name. So he's like, Dr. Pepper. Scotty was up there singing.
So we have a guy named Tuggy talking to a guy named Dr. Pepper.
It's true. And so I tried to send myself a text message of all the funny things that were being said, and I accidentally sent it to some random phone number. And it's a thing that makes no sense. It says, like, Dr. Pepper, you're not punk rock. Something about Dick Clark.
But you didn't even send it to yourself?
I didn't even send it to myself. I sent it to some random phone number. And now this phone number, they keep calling me. They've been calling me all morning.
Because they think you're hilarious.
I don't know.
Send me more of those text messages that reference Dr. Pepper and don't make any sense. They're great.
Yeah.
Well,
so you missed out. That's
yeah.
All.
Yeah, I'm sure. It sounds like a boatload of fun. Too bad I couldn't have been there. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
There has not been a deer sighting. Has not
been a deer sighting in downtown. Yes.
The president's watch is stolen while shaking hands with Albanians. Former youthful killer Kip Kinkle is on the move. A Clackamas County man is stabbed for camping equipment. And Joe Scarborough gets closer to becoming the new Imus.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what he looks like? He looks like the Penguin from Batman. If you think about it, like if you just you picture Joe Scarborough, host of Scarborough Country.
Come to Scarborough Country.
Just picture him with like a cigarette holder and a monocle wearing a tuxedo. He is the Penguin.
Oh.
It's absolutely true.
All right.
I mean, you know what it is, and that's the sort of observation I can only make about him because he's a white man. You could never make that observation about somebody who wasn't white. In no way could you look at somebody who wasn't a white man and say, if you just blank 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 blank, he looks exactly like following animal. In no way could I do that. I'd be running that down on a rail because he's a white man. I can say he looks like whatever. In this case, Joe Scarborough looks like the Penguin, not a penguin. You understand?
Well, thank goodness there'll be plenty of white men for years to come.
Thank God for the white man, Tim Riley. Thank God for the white man. Where would we be without them? Really, where would the comedy on this program be without Whitey? All right. It's 503-733-2970. You missed quite a night last night, Tim Riley.
Oh, did I?
Yes, you did. I'm unclear about whether we should even identify the establishment that we were at last night because it really was a great place. How do I put this? I'm weighing all of these things in my head as we move forward. So Sarah and Scotty and myself went out last night to
right on the top. The Pentaton Red.
Yes, a local eatery, let's say. Who I, for reasons that will become clear, I will not identify quite yet. We went out to a local eatery.
Enjoy yourselves immensely.
Well, now you know the place I'm talking about because we had invited you to come along, but they are not vegan friendly, as it turns out.
Right. There's nothing on the menu I could eat.
Made a big bowl of have a bowl of weed.
They said that they would make something special, which means they would call a cab and send them some other place and deliver it and repackage it and put on a plate.
To bring you a head of cabbage.
But for meat eaters, my God, this place was good.
For meat eaters, it was meat like you've never had. It really was. Not only was it meat eating heaven, it was booze drinking heaven as well.
Man.
And meat and booze.
It's everything you love, Tim.
That's true.
So Sarah and Scotty and myself, just the weirdest threesome for dinner you could possibly imagine. So we're sitting there at the table.
That sounds wonderful.
And, you know, and we're talking, and the guy who's the owner of the establishment is, and we may or may not be talking more about them in the future. I think the odds are that we will, so that remains to be
hopefully
seen. In any event, so the, you know, the guy was kind of giving us the overview. Well, yeah, sort of a culinary tour of the restaurant, because he brought us the menus, and he said, what do you want? And we kind of said, well, you know what, you own the place, you kind of run the joint, you know, bring us whatever you think is going to give us a good overview of your place. And so,
everything.
Yeah, exactly. So he just kept bringing us just a little bit. It's like the time we went to the Pirate Tavern, where they just kept bringing us a little bit of everything, and by everything,
including the alcohol.
And I mean,
and they have all these like fancy drinks that I've never tasted anything like, and they're really good.
And I don't do a whole lot of the drinking because that works out badly for me. It has in the past, and I suspect would in the future as well. Although I got to tell you, I did sip some of the drinks last night just because that makes me sound girly. But I was driving a station vehicle too, so I'm like, well, you know, I cannot be drinking deeply from the cup of life or the cup of booze because I'm driving a station vehicle, and that's all I need. That's all I need because I'm very responsible in that regard, and that's all I need is to get hosed and plow the station vehicle into a busload full of nuns.
Or maybe try to park it in an underground parking garage.
Or try to do what somebody at Fisher Broadcasting once did, which is try to park it into an underground parking garage when they were really hosed, and the vehicle was about 9 feet tall, and the garage, you couldn't be more than like 7 feet tall, and they just took like the top 2 feet right off the vehicle.
Oh, they dismembered like James Nash?
Oh, man, yeah. No, just the vehicle. And their career. Their career was dismembered, not so much them. I'm sure they have a job somewhere at a supermarket.
It's always Boise, Idaho.
And everybody in radio, by the way, has had a story like that happen at their station. Every single person who works in radio has worked with some idiot that went out and got really drunk, really high, or quite possibly both, was trying to do something with the station vehicle and ended up just rolling it down a hill into a sewage drainage ditch. So I did not want to be that guy. So Sarah and Scotty are saying, hey, this drink is really great. You got to try some. And so I would have a small taste of the drink just so I could appreciate the flavor of it and the way the various flavorings and liquors mix together. But goddamn, they just kept bringing one cocktail after another. Every cocktail more fascinating and exotic than the one before it.
They could not be stopped.
No, they couldn't, and neither could Sarah and Scotty be stopped from consuming all of these cocktails. Even the ones that you guys claimed you didn't really care for were mysteriously gone. They would bring a cocktail and Sarah would say,
well, we had something to drink while we were waiting for more drinks.
And Sarah would say, I don't know.
That,
I don't.
Meat is awful salty.
I don't really. I don't really fancy this cocktail. Gone, just down the gullet, and so we started having dinner at 6:30. I left at around 8:40. By the time I left, Scotty and Sarah had become the best friends, that they never had. And they were just arms around.
Scotty was wearing my sunglasses.
Scotty was wearing Sarah's sunglasses, arms around each other. Sarah getting up and posing us in different, sort of moving us into different positions at the table, taking photographs of everyone, commenting on the breasts and brassiere of the woman at the next table.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Oh, the floppy girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a woman sitting at the next table
who needed a bra.
Very well endowed, but lacked adequate undergarment support.
And, of course, you know, she wasn't wearing something with, like, big straps. They were, like, spaghetti straps.
And so Sarah kept, in an increasingly loud tone of voice, Sarah kept, that girl's boobs need to be held back by something. And, you know, and meanwhile, I'm the lone sober person at the table, trying to sort of, like, okay, kids, let's all...
I thought we were being charismatic.
Sure. Yeah, whatever you say.
No.
They need personality.
That's what my dad used to think, too. Right as they were shoving into the back of a squad car. I'm funny when I'm drunk! You know, right as the cops are cuffing him. So, Jesus. So, it really was a great place. I know it sounded like it was just a den of drunken debauchery.
It was so much fun.
It was only that way at our table. Everybody else was very stylish and sophisticated. It was just at our table that it was just a big booze fest. The food was fantastic, and they brought us... I don't mean to sound like I'm going on and on again. Just go.
Those
just a big plug for this restaurant.
Are some of the tasty things I've ever had in my life.
Well, but really, it all started to go downhill when the guy brought us this dish, and I forget the name of it. It's like a Scandinavian dish. It's like a very thin, savory, crisp cracker upon which you put a slice of cucumber, some smoked salmon, and like a pickled onion, and then a whatever. And the deal is, you got to stack all of these ingredients, you got to eat it all in one gulp, and then you got to take a shot of vodka. So they actually bring the food tray, and the food tray actually has a vodka glass sort of built into it. So they bring this fish thing with the vodka, and it's like, and at one point, I looked around the table, I should have taken a photograph. At one point, I looked around the table last night, and there were, I don't know, whatever, X plates full of food there. And I swear to God, like 10 or 12 cocktails. Just sitting on the table in various states of consumption. And then Sarah with a kind of a rosy, happy smile on her face. And Scotty just sort of giggling and sweating a lot. Just, and I don't know how much longer you guys stayed. I left after 2 hours. How long did you stay at that place?
All this went on during a span of 2 hours.
Oh, God. Yeah. It was unreal. Oh, I thought it was a whole... No, the
no,
amount of alcohol...
No, as soon as I felt just getting a little drunky, I'm like, I don't want to make an ass of myself
here. Oh, that's not true. You were a little drunky like an hour into
no.
it. By the time I left...
I don't believe that.
By the time I left, you had taken probably 15 or 20 photographs of all of this, and you had your arm around Scotty just kind of going, this is great! I wasn't even clear about what you were commenting on. Just something was great. You found something to be fantastic, and you wanted to share that in a really loud voice with everybody in the restaurant. So
that happened.
So okay. So how long after I left? What time did you guys leave that place?
I don't know. Let me check my phone.
Let me look at the evidence here.
Okay, so I think I left at like probably like 9.
Jesus. So you drank for another half an hour.
Yeah.
And then, so you and Scotty went out somewhere after that, correct?
Yes.
Where did you go after that?
Scotty and I, and Tuggy, we threw my bike because I rode my bike downtown. Yeah. Didn't ride
did
at
Scotty
home.
Drive?
No, we drove, Scotty wasn't too drunk then, so we drove him. He drove to the station, dropped off his car, then all three of us rode in Tuggy's car over to Chopsticks.
Yes.
And then we sang karaoke for like, and that's why my throat kind of hurts. We sang karaoke for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
What was on Scotty's hit parade?
I can't remember what he sang. I think he was trying to sing some, I think he sang a couple rock songs.
Let's find out.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except.
You're really, really, really hungover. Please come to the studio now. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson program, our intrepid PA. Scotty J joining us now in the program. Hi, Scotty. How's your day? How are things going for you?
Good morning, Rick, Sarah, and Tim in Portland, Oregon. I'm doing
great. You know
what?
And before every song, you'd be like, how are you doing, Portland, Oregon?
Oh,
and
God.
All the kids in Chopsticks are like, really?
Yeah,
you
the
really
kids
doing
these
that?
Days.
Really? How long did you karaoke until?
These kids don't understand entertainment.
What time did you get home last night?
Not one.
How did you drive home?
No, took a taxi.
Really? Is that true?
Really, really.
How much did it cost you to taxi
40
home?
This time. That was a deal.
That's a lie.
It was
you,
40.
There's no way you could get from Chopsticks on Hawthorne?
No,
it's on Burnside on 28th.
Okay, but even so, there's no way you could... from Burnside to Beaverton is not $40.
Pulled into the driveway and it was like $37. So I gave him 40 just to be a sport.
Yeah, what a pal. Here's an 8% tip. Yeah, you're a real mensch.
He goes, is that going to do it for you? Yeah.
Marty, can I tip you 3%? Thanks so much. All right, so how hungover are you this morning on a scale of 1 to 10? Don't lie.
6. I've had way worse.
All right.
Because, no,
it's because of some organic drinks, I tell you.
Let me just... Oh, that's the other thing. Scotty just hosed at this restaurant last night, which is a fantastic restaurant. Please don't think less of it by the fact that they just turned it into a saloon. The Scotty, who is drunk and just holding forth at the top of his lungs about, the reason these drinks are so great is because they're organic. And I said, what do you mean organic? And he said, well, you know, normally it's like how milk has antibiotics in it.
Oh, yeah.
I meant hormones.
Uh-huh.
No, you didn't. You kept saying antibiotics, so we brought that over.
Hormones. Do you remember telling me this? Do you remember lecturing me about how sugar was usually filled with antibiotics? You know, a lot of times sugar in these drinks will have antibiotics, Rick.
And you kept telling us that was the difference.
I meant, for the uh-huh. sugar, I meant the chlor, that, you know, they use bleach and stuff to make it white, right?
Not antibiotics.
Right.
Okay.
I guess I needed some.
Yes, you did. So, how many text messages, when did the text messages from Mrs. J start arriving last night?
Around 9.
Oh, God.
What time did you get home?
1.
How many? Now, did you bother to read them, or were you just deleting them as they came?
Well, a bunch of them came through, and I couldn't hear.
Oh, yeah.
It was really loud, so sure. I had no idea.
No, you had no idea.
Pocket.
How could you know?
Yeah. But there were several.
What was the general tone?
The children are crying their eyes out.
Don't ever come home.
They've forgotten what you look like. Really?
Yeah.
Did you get one that said, don't ever come home?
Pretty much.
And then you went home. What a brave soul.
Right, and so it was a good thing that I didn't read it, because then, you know, I kept my mouth
Don't ever come home. Now, was it just don't ever come home by itself, or was there some sort of follow-up? Was there like a context that was put in?
Don't ever come home.
Sober.
Blankety blank, beep, beep.
Was there a lot of, now, why was last night an especially bad night for you? Because let's be honest, you stay out drinking quite often. Why was last night especially bad with the wife?
Because our son has his last night of scouts tonight, and there's 100 pages in this book that he hasn't done, and it's all due tonight.
But rather than assist your child with the scouts, an endeavor into which you pushed him.
Well, I was just told about this last night.
Of course.
I should have been aware all along.
Yeah, did she tell you before you left?
No. Only
so
at
let
9
me understand
o'clock.
This. Let me understand this. So you're blaming your wife and or your son because you can't be bothered to follow what your son is doing in scouts, an organization into which you pushed him.
Right. I'm not blaming anybody.
Yes.
Okay. My bad.
Are you blaming yourself?
My bad.
Yes. All right. So
I think I've patched things up, though.
What was the worst text message you got last night? What did it say?
I'm trying to think. It said something like, don't come home. You're not welcome here anymore.
Oh. And you still stayed out?
What time
I didn't get that message until, like, today. Thank goodness. I didn't read it. I didn't even know all those messages were there because it was in
my
pocket.
Who could be bothered to check? Why would you ever check your phone?
I would have spent the entire night on the phone arguing in text.
So rather than
message arguing.
So if you had checked your messages last night and seen the text, you wouldn't have actually gone home. You would have just continued to argue drunkenly via text on your phone.
I would have tried persuasiveness, I guess.
You would have tried. You would have used your drunken debating skills.
Yes.
To argue your case effectively and logically.
Right.
All right. So what happened when you walked in the front door last night?
Well, she had to let me in because I didn't have a key, so that didn't go down too well.
Where was your key?
Well, I don't carry it on my car key ring. So
you don't keep your house key with
you?
No,
I just have, like, the car key.
Was your house key taken away from you at some point?
No.
Uh-huh.
I just don't like carrying a big thing of keys. So.
Why would you ever need to be able to get into your house?
Of course.
So you had to knock on the door to be let into your own house last night after being told not to come home.
Ever.
I literally had to knock 3 times.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so when she answered the door, what did she say?
Well, when she opened her eyes, there really wasn't much conversation. It was just the look of death.
Contempt.
Say, hello, baby. I'm so glad to be home.
Yes.
You're the best thing that ever happened to me.
That's what I said.
And
basically.
So did you sleep somewhere other than other than in the bed?
But?
No.
Was there a pillow wall?
Why, yes, Sarah, there was, actually.
Fantastic. Excellent. So what is Mrs. J's general demeanor this morning, Scotty?
That's a little better.
Okay.
So.
All right, fantastic. The best thing, by the way, And I don't think I have this. I don't think I have this email. I think I forwarded it to Sarah. Here's the best thing. This is Scotty. Scotty sends me this email either late last night or this morning. I'm not sure which. This is we were eating at a restaurant. You know, the prospective client. We can say that, I guess, a restaurant that may or may not be, be talked about later on.
I hope so. We've already had people calling in saying they're going there, well, so I sure hope so.
Yeah. So it's a restaurant that I think is perhaps toying with the idea, maybe doing a little advertisement work here with us on AM 970. This is the email. Sarah, do you have the email that Scotty sent? What Scotty said to me this morning.
The one that it just...
The one that I forwarded to you.
Okay, the one this that just says... Oh, this is 10:02 a.m. I give Matt the subtle close before leaving, and I think he's in, Scotty.
So, Scotty, this is Scotty's first thought this morning, so let me know that after I left last night, leaving Sarah and Scotty blind, drunk, and reeling around like Quint on the deck of the Orca, Scotty, I gave Matt the subtle close last night, which I swear to God, Scotty this morning said to me, he goes, I gave that guy the real subtle close on the advertising. I learned how to do the close in the school of hard knocks, Rick. What is your subtle close? Just so prospective clients can know it when they hear it.
Well, this one was...
Let's pretend I'm the client. Give me the subtle close.
I basically
close.
Said...
Let's pretend I'm Matt, the owner of the restaurant.
Okay. I basically said, Matt, I don't know if you've heard the Pirates Tavern commercials on AM 970, but they have got phenomenal results from this station.
Have, yes.
Which is true.
Okay.
It is true.
Okay.
And I really hope the same thing happens at your restaurant, Matt.
Oh, I see. So you're assuming that is the close because you're assuming the sale. You're assuming the close. Then.
Hey, I've watched Glenn Ross several hundred times. So
several hundred times.
I know
times.
About the ABCs.
Where is your car now?
It's right here in the
How'd
parking lot.
How did you get
lot?
To work this morning?
Mrs. J. There wasn't a lot of conversation this morning, but that's okay. I think she's over it.
Just driving to work in stifled, angry silence. Just tension you could cut with a chainsaw.
And I left my coffee in there, and that just set the whole day off really bad.
Fantastic. Should we get her on the show today and find out what her general demeanor is?
I don't know if she'll do it or not.
Oh, of course she will. I'm charming.
She's a cool lady.
Why wouldn't she talk to me? I didn't show up drunk and disappoint her children. Good times.
Okay.
All right. Wait, we got a call about something, and then we got a break. Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, this is Nick.
What's up?
No, I'm not. Hey, yeah, the time he came in, like, all hurried with a bunch of his little cronies with guns.
Yeah.
And there's a Clippers-LA Lakers game on, and everybody was watching it. And he comes in demanding that we turn it to a damn golf game.
Lee Baca, really? So the guy?
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Yeah, and so, like, my boss is like, sorry, buddy, golf's not, you know, we're going to watch the Clippers-Lakers game. He's like, no, I got to watch the game. And he went up to the TV and tried turning the channels on it.
Yeah.
But, like, it was satellite, so he needed the control. So he screwed it up, turned off the game. And my boss has the balls to tell him to F off, like, in front of everybody.
He does seem like kind of an ass, Lee Baca.
But he didn't leave.
Excellent.
Yeah, him and his buddies are staying. They came back. But he's weird because he likes avocado sandwich with mustard.
That is weird, kind of, sir.
Yeah.
There's no words for how weird that is.
Yeah, that is very weird. Right. That guy's kind of a prick.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, there you go. This just in, Lee Baca, a dick. All right, 503-733-2970. All right, we should take a break. Steve Kastenbaum coming up. Lisa Goddard, Tim Riley, the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, Jim Roop, Dennis Pitzenbacher, and Sarah Dillon's Top 5 Drunken Karaoke Songs. You stay there. Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, by the way, so I found... She's talking to Scotty during the break. So, in addition to all the other unpleasantness, he apparently never told his wife that he actually... As far as Mrs. J knows, he just stayed at that one restaurant with you and me all night. She apparently doesn't...
He didn't lie, did he?
Well, yes. It's not so much that he lied. Yeah, he totally lied. It's that... So he apparently did not tell her that he left and went to a karaoke bar. And as far as she knows, I was with him the entire night. Apparently, he would be in even further disfavor with her if she realized that he just left and went to a karaoke bar with you, even though your friend Tuggy was there. There you go. Fantastic. Sarah Dillon bringing marriages together across Oregon.
Oh, my gosh.
Fantastic. I'm just saying, no, it's not your fault.
If he wants to go out, there's a reason that he lied then. I mean, if he wants to go out and sing karaoke on a school night, then, you know, it's Tuggy's 40.
You don't look at me. He doesn't need my permission.
Well, don't put on breaking up marriages.
I never said that. I said you were bringing marriages together.
No.
It's, you know what it is? It's not my fault. It's not your fault. If Scotty J chose to, leave out part of the story, he chose to only tell half-truths, then that is, that's something that's beyond our control. Isn't it, Scotty J? Yes, it is. What is the, Scotty, please be telling us the deal with Steve Kastenbaum. Because we're going to be coming up against it here. If we've got,
No, Lisa.
Yeah, we're supposed to be having Lisa. Oh, he will? Okay. We have Lisa Goddard coming up at 11:45. He's going to talk to us about how the Republicans told the Democrats to go stuff it. We have Tim Riley coming up at the top of the hour with the AM 970 New News Hour. Later on, Jim Roop will be joining us to talk about Paris Hilton and Phil Spector, Dennis Pitzenbarger, Sarah Dillon's top five drunken karaoke songs, and so forth. Now, are these songs you did last night, or is this overall? Are these your all-time?
These are all-time. I can't remember which one I did last night. What did I do? Okay. Oh, I sang Cheap Trick Surrender last night.
Fantastic. What did Scotty sing?
I can't remember.
Did he do a lot of? Does he do a lot of over the top introductions though? Does he greet the people in the bar?
No, he says he acts like he's going on stage to like perform some concert. He's like, "Hello, Portland."
Scotty J live at Budokan.
Yeah, and there are all these like drunken girls in the front looking at him like, "Who is this dude?" And Amanda Pants was there last night too.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Maybe she can call in because she might have been a little bit more sober.
Does he do a lot of? Like, you know, I know you're all here to see me, Scotty J, tonight. I mean, is it really like in Scotty J's head?
He referred to himself as Scotty J.
Scotty. That's just no. Really? He sang a Linkin Park song?
He did.
Oh, dude, don't do that. You got to know better than that. Scotty, a man's got to know his limitations. All right, should I be taking whatever these calls are? All right, because I think right now we're just killing time waiting for Steve Kastenbaum. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, Rick. This sounds like a great idea for a weekend show. Dr. Pepper and the home wrecker.
Seriously, she's not so much a home wrecker as it is Scotty J just chooses what... He just chooses poorly, I think, about what information he passes along and what information he does not.
It's either that or we give Mrs. J a tube sock full of nickels and just... Turn her loose on him in front of the microphone.
Well, I think we may or may not be attempting to. We may or may not be attempting.
Well, now
to
that
you
lied,
Mrs.
it's going
to
be harder.
Yes, 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 it will. Now, Scotty, here's a question: Does Mrs. J actually? Does she listen during the show? Like, for example, right now. Oh, please, for the love of God. Okay, we'll come.
Scotty,
come back here.
David Cassidy.
No, she doesn't listen to him at all.
All right.
Ever.
Scotty, you have to come to the studio now. We'll get Steve whenever it is he comes in. And now we have to clarify something. So if you would please do approach the studio. We have to clarify before we go any further. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right. Quit telling me that you didn't lie about it. This is like you, and I know we got Steve waiting and then we got Lisa Goddard. But before, now, are we going to be able to speak to Mrs. J today?
Probably not.
And why is this?
Why is that?
Is she not
available?
My phone's dead. She's unreachable. I don't know. It's the don't ask, don't tell policy that Clinton put in place. I love that guy.
Do you and your wife have a don't ask, don't tell policy? Do you and Mrs. J have an understanding?
No.
You and Mrs. J don't have an arrangement?
Oh.
No.
Is that how it is with your family?
We don't, so...
So...
I hope she's not listening. But
no,
I'm
just saying, why would she be upset then?
Because she was already upset that I was out at this restaurant, and to go to another one is.
Would
just,
she be upset because
why
I wasn't
at
there?
The restaurant?
Because I was out late.
Now, would she be more upset if I wasn't there?
Probably, yeah.
Why?
Because then it wouldn't be a work function. It'd just be.
Well, Sarah was there.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Does she believe
if you or Sarah were not there?
But Sarah was there.
Right. That's
so
fine.
Why does it matter that I was not? Does she believe Sarah to be an evil seductress?
No.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive.
Okay. She believes Sarah poses no threat whatsoever?
Right.
That's a terrible thing to say, Scotty.
No, it's true. Sarah doesn't. She's like a sister I slap around.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly how it works. All right. Let's welcome now. We're so behind. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City. CNN radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum joining us now on the Rick Emerson program. Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Oh, it's been a bit of a morning so far. Not so much for me, but for everyone else even remotely associated with the program. But that's okay. It's not your problem, Steve.
I hear you.
How's life in New York City?
Not bad. Can't complain today. Pretty good day.
I know we're running a little bit behind here, so we'll try to kind of catch up with a couple of things. Now, I know you said you ended up talking to... You talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I'm not going to make it a second day of just going on and on about the Sopranos finale, because I mean, we kind of did a whole day on that. We're sort of done with that. We're going to move past it. But I do know that you talked to Steven Van Zandt. You did talk a little bit about that yesterday. But I mean, is there any sort of unanimity? Is there any sort of consensus being reached among people about whether they view it as a huge ripoff, or if people just kind of decided to move on?
I think that the sense that I'm getting from a lot of people is when they rethink this and they go over it again, and a lot of people rewatched it last night, they're saying, you know what, maybe he was right and that this was the only way you could end it, because any other ending, you know, might satisfy one person, but then, you know, everybody else would be dissatisfied. And Stephen Van Zandt even said, you know, you could have 100 different endings and 100 different people would be unhappy. So he said, this way, you know, you make up your own ending. He also defended David Chase, saying that this is pretty much the way he's ended every season, that there hasn't been that Hollywood storybook ending or the big grand finale, and he's never compromised himself, and this is how the show has always been, so he wasn't about to change that.
The other big story, I know you're talking about this today, and I apologize for sort of rushing it through this, but everything's getting a little compacted today. So briefly, explain to me what's going on with this Michael Moore film, because now is this because Michael Moore, one of the great things about him, and one of the things that I love about him that many people do not, is that he is such a relentless hype machine. He is a one-man self-promotion dynamo. There's nobody would ever disagree with that. So this business about him being afraid that the government's going to seize the film, and so he stashed a master copy of it in Canada or whatever. Is this just like some more crap that Michael Moore is spinning to pump the film, or is the U.S. government legitimately like bearing down on the guy?
You know, I was trying to make sense of this while I was at the news conference yesterday, because on the one hand, he was talking about the First Amendment rights of a journalist, and that under the First Amendment, we do have the right to go to Cuba to cover a story, to pursue a journalistic story. So I was sitting there agreeing with him on that as a journalist. But then he went into this whole tirade about the healthcare system in the U.S. and the inadequate healthcare that 9/11 rescue workers are getting as compared to terror suspects in Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, the naval base there where all the terror suspects are being held. And then I thought, well, what am I here for? Am I covering an actual issue here, or am I covering a press event for his movie?
Right.
Because he was talking about stashing a copy of it in Canada so that the U.S. cannot seize and confiscate all the copies of his movie, and that he will get it out there to the public. I don't think anybody in the federal government has said that they were looking into confiscating copies of the film. All they have said was that they're investigating whether or not he violated any laws by going down to Cuba and doing what he did.
Now, it's not illegal. Is it illegal for American citizens to go to Cuba?
It's illegal to do business in Cuba. It's illegal to go down to Cuba and spend American dollars as an American citizen. It is not illegal to go down there as a journalist and to cover stories or to research stories. It's not illegal to go down there in many cases and in specific instances if you have family there. Those are some of the exceptions that they make. But generally speaking, you can't just go down there on a whim, even though many Americans do it anyway. They go down through one of the Caribbean islands. They go through Mexico. They take a flight from Canada. And a lot of times they'll ask the Cuban officials not to stamp their passport when they go down there.
Now, does the government ever, did they prosecute? Because my hippie, trippy wife keeps asking me, we're going to go to Cuba sometime for 3 weeks, which doesn't sound, traveling to a dictatorship for my vacation doesn't really sound all that exciting to me. So, but is that a thing they prosecute people for?
There have been cases where people have been prosecuted, but the sentences have been relatively light, you know, probation, confiscation of merchandise. But then again, there haven't been any cases where there have been high-profile cases of people going down there and making a film, or there haven't been any high-profile cases of people doing big business down there either. So it remains to be seen how far they're going to pursue this. You know, maybe he does have something here. Maybe they are out to get back at him for him being so vocally critical of the Bush administration. And on the other hand, maybe they're just doing a routine investigation.
It's not like it would be beyond a presidential administration of whatever political party to have an enemies list. That certainly is not without precedence in this country. So.
Oh, it's without a doubt. I mean, I think we've seen that in the past, that there have been people on lists. And you can go way back in history and see a pattern of that.
All right, my friend, I will let you get back to your day. Have a bagel for me, my brother, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. Speak to you too.
Steve Kastenbaum, ladies and gentlemen, in New York City.
A bagel for me?
Yeah, well, you know, because he's in New York, the home of the bagel.
I thought it was the home of the pizza.
No, Italy's the home of the pizza. I guess. It's a bagel. It's a thing. It's just a little sign-off.
That's a weird thing to say.
Well, I mean, you know, what am I going to say?
Have a good day.
Eat a bagel.
Anybody can have a good day. It's a little color, Sarah. It's a little texture that I'm injecting into the program. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Back to back we go today. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Why, hello there.
Well, hello there.
How are you today? How are things?
Good, good.
All right, so let me understand this. So there was all this saber-rattling and all this rabble-rousing about the Democrats having this no-confidence vote on Alberto Gonzalez, which now is not even going to happen because the Republicans basically just smacked them down and told them to go back to bed without dinner, right?
I guess you could look at it that way. I think, you know, it's the Senate rule that to shut down debate, you need 60 votes. And so anything controversial, essentially, you need 60 votes. And we're not back in the old Strom Thurmond days of the long filibuster, but essentially that's what's going on. And so Democrats just barely have the slimmest of majorities, and they certainly don't have 60 votes on their own. And that's why Republicans can block most any controversial bill that they don't like, and that's what happened here.
So let's just be honest. The Democrats are really never going to accomplish anything like this ever again, are they? There's really the idea that the Democrats are ever going to be able to get anything passed, they're going to be able to shove anything through, they're going to be able to censure anybody, they're going to be able to have a no-confidence vote, that they're going to be able to reform anything. These are all just pipe dreams, aren't they?
I think the fire, the brimstone, the pitchforks, the villagers with burning torches that you would like to see here in Congress probably will not happen. No, I'm sorry, Rick.
It doesn't matter to me. Here's why. It doesn't matter to me because I never had any illusion that the Democrats were going to get anything done.
No, you didn't. That's true.
I mean, I never had any sort of belief that the Democrats were actually going to be able to accomplish anything or gain any real ground. I didn't think they were going to be able to do anything. I was just at least hoping for a good fight. I was hoping for some sort of a good scuffle before the Democrats inevitably lost, because that's what they do. But I was denied even the scuffle. It just seems they just buckle like a belt on everything.
Yeah, the problem really is that Senate rule that you need 60 votes on anything. And in order to get anything passed, you've got to compromise. The Republicans had the same problem when they were in charge. They didn't have a veto, or they didn't have a 60-vote majority, so they had to compromise on things as well, especially when we talked about military commissions and detainees. And immigration last year, Republicans had to compromise as well.
Right.
So that's really the issue, is that 60-vote rule. It's not so much that are Democrats spineless or not. You know, that plays into something, but I think it's just that you need a lot of votes in the Senate to get anything through controversial. Now, today the big issue is immigration. The president was just up here, and so there's tons of security all around. He's still trying to get that immigration bill through, even though it couldn't get 60 votes a couple weeks ago. And it seems like it does have that support. But what's going on now? Just games back and forth over what amendments, the exact strategy, that kind of thing. But the president's up here trying to work that. The problem there is that the president just doesn't have a lot of influence with his own party right now.
This whole business of Bush trying to get the immigration thing passed before his administration is finally run out of town, it reminds me of those waning moments of Monday Night Football when Don Meredith used to start singing, the lights, "Turn Out the Lights" by Willie Nelson. It just sort of seems to be the sense that the curtain is coming down and people are mentally moving on, and they're not going to invest a whole lot of energy in something for administration that is, that it is short-term in it.
Right, and it's a lot easier for many senators who are not up for re-election to say, I don't like this bill, whether you don't like it if you're coming from the left, you don't like that it might split up immigrant families, or if you're coming from the right and you say it doesn't have enough enforcement, there are a lot of reasons to oppose this bill, and so it's not hard to do. It's not hard to oppose any kind of any immigration compromise, because any compromise is by nature going to have things in it that you don't like. So it's an easy to oppose bill to begin with, and then the president is someone who just doesn't have a lot of influence, and you've got the Democrats with barely a majority, and you've got basically two weak parties trying to work with each other in the Senate to pass major legislation that everyone agrees the country needs, but yet they just can't get it off the ground. And I'm starting to put my money down that we will see more votes on immigration this year. I didn't think so, but just talking to senators today, it sounds like there are some more votes in the cards, but who knows if they'll really come up to it. It looks like, Rick, what's going on is the conservatives are asking for a separate spending bill that would spend money on enforcement, because this immigration deal doesn't actually appropriate money. It just sort of has goals for the border enforcement. So they're saying, hey, we want the money spent up front, and then we'll support the rest of the deal. So maybe something like that would happen. There you go.
Remains to be seen. All right. I apologize for cutting it short. I know we're running, everybody's running very late today. Are you still doing those top of the hour things?
Yeah, I was just, you had about a minute 30 before I was
going
to have to...
Ah, there you go. See, so I'm prescient. I had that you needed to bail. So
Laura was going
to
send me the email.
It's okay. Well, we wish to avoid emails from
exactly.
Laura.
Exactly.
All right. We will talk to you in the very near future. Enjoy the rest of your day. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Thank you, sister. There you go. All right. Fantastic. And like that, bam, we're back on schedule. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Still to come, Jim Roop, Dennis Pitzenbarger, Sarah Dillon's Top 5 Drunken Karaoke Songs. And up next, the AM 970 Noon News Hour with Tim Riley. You stay right there. We will be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. We're mere moments away from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Dennis Pitzenbarger and James Roop, as well as the Top 5. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, I was just calling to give Scotty grief about the podcast. I'm out of market, and I'm jonesing hard. But hey, the one radio station that I've been able to handle, it's really bizarre. Lisa Goddard is on all the time.
Now, can I ask where you live, sir?
Well, I live in Oregon, but I'm traveling in Hawaii right now.
I said, really? So she's on a radio station in Hawaii?
Well, not on it, but she's part of the CNN. She's reporting constantly for CNN.
Right. She does one of the, she's one of their anchors for their CNN feed. Does she say, I don't think we've ever actually heard any of our CNN correspondents when they're not. I mean, I guess we've heard some of their pre-recorded stuff, but I don't think we've ever heard any of them doing live shots at anybody else. So I wonder if she sounds completely different.
She does. She sounds extremely professional.
as opposed to the way she sounds with us, which is when we sort of drag her down to our level of juvenile inanity.
Right, for her ability to explain the final episode of Little House on the Prairie. You know, you just don't expect that.
Well, we bring out unseen colors and textures in many people, sir.
Indeed.
Yeah. 970.am has that almost live stream, which I think Scotty is working on right now. So that's always about, it's about 25 minutes behind every day. But you can start catching the show at around 11:40 every day.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he is the Reverend Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Massive roundup of illegal aliens at the Del Monte plant in St. John's.
That's hard to believe.
Only 48 of nearly 600 of these employees at the plant have valid Social Security numbers. Those using a valid Social Security number belong to someone else. So apparently, this is near the Portland shipyards. And this is a cavernous warehouse. It sits in an isolated industrial section of St. John's. And these workers hack up pineapples, cantaloupes, honeydew, and watermelons, and they end up at your area supermarkets.
By the way, I'd like to know that this story comes about 14 seconds after I got a big, long email from somebody who was maligning the program for making fun of St. John's and painting it with an overly broad brush. I'm sorry, Melissa, whatever were we thinking? Please forgive us. Clearly, we were wrong.
So out of 600 of these illegal aliens, now you can build the highest fences you want, but if you still have companies like Del Monte and these little shadow companies that hire them under different names, skirting American law and getting a slap on the hand for it, well, there's not much you can do with a fence now, is there?
Well, and here's the thing, and so here's why this is not a surprise to me, because about 3 weeks ago, the Willamette ran, this was the cover story in the Willamette Week about 3 weeks ago, where the Willamette, they sent one of their reporters undercover to work at the Del Monte plant, and he did, it was like a 9-page article about, hey, I'm working in a plant with hundreds of illegal aliens who are here doing this dangerous, hard, back-breaking work for like 9 cents an hour, or whatever.
It operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You know, so, and I mean,
they slice green peppers, shipped to Pizza Hut, chopped onions, lettuce and tomatoes sent to Taco Bell. Fruit cuts from Del Monte appear at the local Jack in the Box restaurants, and it slices tomatoes for KFC.
And so, so there you go. So when you're craving food at 3 in the morning and you end up going through a Jack in the Box drive-thru, that's who's preparing the food initially
for you. Thank the good illegal aliens in St. John's for doing it for you.
And it will be interesting to see, because of course, the illegal aliens who... I understand everybody's frustration that, as Dennis Miller says, they ought to sign the guest book on the way in. I do understand why people who, come from a terrible place filled with smog and pollution and corruption and no money and no wages and the terrible living conditions come here, and they get rounded up and they either get stuck in jail or they get sent back. It'll be interesting to see what sort of fines or levies are placed on the Del Monte Corporation, for example.
And the shadow companies that hire these people.
Because that's the only, the problem will never be solved until companies... rich white men who employ illegal aliens are penalized for this. And then, until they go after companies that employ illegal labor, the problem is never going to. It doesn't matter. All the fences you want to build, you can build a fence, you can build a wall, you can build some sort of outer space protective bubble that goes over the United States.
They're not building a fence around the Del Monte plant in St. John's.
No, they're really not. And so as long as we continue to allow companies to employ illegal aliens will continue to come here and they're going to do what they're going to do, which is to come here and get a job. So, if you want to stop it, you'll stop companies from hiring them until you do that or until you... Because exactly what this will be. This will be like one of those companies that gets caught dumping feces or something into the Willamette River, and their fine is $9,000. Their fine is like 0.00001 of their net every year. So...
So let's not blame the people themselves. They want to work. That's why they come here. Blame Del Monte and the shadow companies that they set up to hire them.
I would say not only blame Del Monte, but I would also not only blame Del Monte, but demand that they are given a fine that is commensurate with the problem. A fine that is equivalent to the law breaking that they have engaged in. So
when you have only 48 of 600 employees in Social Security and the rest are using somebody else's Social Security number. So... There's 600 illegals right here, all working for Del Monte.
Yeah, this is a supply
chain. This is not just
problem.
A handful of people. Nope. This is 600 people.
No.
So this was done 600 times.
Yes, yes, it was, Tim. So there you go.
Let's talk about an American who was born here, Kip Kinkle. He'll never see a Del Monte job.
From illegal aliens to Kip Kinkle.
Mm.
It's the kind of pick-me-up that only AM 970 can give you, kids.
Yes. Yes, the Thurston High School shooter, remember him? He has moved from Juvie Hall into the Oregon State Correctional Institute. He's an adult now. Kind of a pudgy-faced...
How old is he?
I think he's 25.
Jesus.
Yeah, his 25th birthday is August 30th, so he's almost 25. In 1998, Kip Kinkle killed his parents before opening fire inside his high school, killing two students.
Oh, I forgot that. I forgot he killed his parents beforehand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I get all the school shooters confused.
Yeah, they were friends of my parents.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I get all the school shooters confused, and I get all the school shooters confused with the Menendez brothers.
Is this the case of sparing the rod, spoiling the child? And the Kip Kinkle thing? I guess she doesn't know Kip Kinkle.
Did you know Kip Kinkle?
No, I didn't. My parents went to school with his parents.
Oh, okay. So, but it wasn't like you hung out with Kip Kinkle.
No, I'd never met him.
They were
friends.
He is a contemporary of yours.
Mm. He was sentenced as an adult, but has been at McLaren Youth Correctional Facility. The Oregon Youth Authority can have custody of young offenders only until they're 25. He is serving a 111-year prison sentence. His earliest release date is January 2110.
I don't think he'll meet that.
In the year 2110. This man is still alive.
I was just going to say.
You pick your sons, pick your daughters, too, from the bottom of a lined glass booth.
Fantastic. I was just going to go to the Zager and Evans reference, and you beat me to it. Well done, Tim Riley.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
If Kip is still alive. That's really funny if you're over the age of, like, 40. Yeah. If you're over the age of 40, that joke is hilarious.
Or if you work with people over the age of 40, you might because you sit in the same room with
that
them.
That song used to freak me out, man. When I was a kid, I would listen to Year 2525 by Zager and Evans. That song.
One Hit Wonders.
Song of the Week. You know, they had that follow-up, Mr. Turnkey.
I don't remember that.
That was a terrible song. And that was the follow-up to... I say, entering full-on nerd mode. That was the follow-up to In the Year 2525 with a song called Mr. Turnkey, which is an awful song. So I got this. Right as you were talking about the Del Monte plant in St. John's being filled with illegal immigrants and illegal employees.
Illegal employers.
I get this. Rick. It starts with Sandy Barr. Sandy Barr was a Portland icon. You can refer to his lifestyle however you want, but to disrespect a dead man because of his career path proves your ruthlessness. I didn't disrespect him. He owed me money. I have no problem. Whatever, be a wrestler. I don't care. Run a store. Doesn't matter to me. He owed me hundreds of dollars, which he refused to pay. He's now dead, which means I'll never get it. That's what I...
You can sue his estate.
So I really ought to, Melissa. So... That really is my problem. You know, I'm not disrespecting his career at all. In fact, he seems to have made quite a lucrative living as a wrestler and as a flea market owner. A lucrative living that I would think would have allowed him to pay me, Rick Emerson, the hundreds of dollars he owed me.
I think the guilt may have caused his demise.
Well, I'd like to think so. She says, I live in St. John's. I'm not white trash. I don't steal. I have a home. The bar is set so low for St. John's pride.
I have a home.
I have all my limbs and no visible scars. She says, I'm not white trash. I don't steal. I have a home and I'm not an alcoholic. It's like a reverse bingo game. I choose to, all caps, I choose to live there because it has a community feel. And I like my neighbors. I prefer to... Yes, yes, I'm sure you do. I prefer to have cultural variety, she says. Please come... Now, this is the best part. This indicates that Melissa... And here's the thing that people do, and I don't mean to be singling out Melissa, but I am singling out Melissa. This is what people who write letters like this do. They always identify themselves as longtime listeners. I used to enjoy your opinion and outlook, blah, 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 blah. And then she goes on. So they always identify themselves as someone who's been listening for a long time, and then they always betray the fact that they really haven't been listening by saying things like this. Rick, come out of that gated community you live in and join the gated community from which my car has been stolen three times. You seem to be, and join the general public. All right. Quit being judgmental. That's not going to happen. And love the people and neighborhoods that make Portland unique, says Melissa, who is not drunk and lives in St. John's.
And owns a home.
And owns a home. All right, so there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
A restaurant that was closed after sickening 123 people is now open for business. This restaurant is known as Parker's. They serve steak there. And health officials don't know what sickened their 123 customers, but they think it was norovirus. The restaurant is on Ocean Beach Highway. This is in Longview. They voluntarily shut down for a good scrubbing. Although health officials don't know whether the virus came from contaminated food there, or from some contaminated surface like a tabletop or a door handle, or from maybe an employee or a repeat customer. They do say Parker's was the common thread in the largest viral outbreak in Cowlitz County history. So, Parker shut itself down? And gave it a good top-to-bottom scrubbing, and it's now reopened for business. Right. Why not stop in and get acquainted?
By the way, if you are one of Oregon's many unemployed, there are now vast openings at the Del Monte factory. So there you go. This guy says, I wonder how many of Oregon's unemployed will get a letter in the mail about Del Monte's wonderful benefits package.
Yeah,
the benefits package is we promise not to call the cops on you or have your family taken care of.
And if you lose a finger or two,
it's your problem.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, the city fathers want to take fortified wines and high-alcohol malt liquors off the shelves of Vancouver. Planners call it a major step in curbing public drunkenness, a big problem in the coup, and the crime that goes with it. The city planners say it's necessary to clean up Vancouver's image. They've come up with a hit list of alcoholic products they want removed. They also came up with an alcohol impact area. It stretches east from downtown out to Andreessen Road and probably all the way to the Canadian border, for all we know. So they came up with this big list of products, which is like everything made. Here you go.
Can I see this list of products? Yep. This is only a problem in Vancouver,
only
apparently.
A problem
Thank God it's not a problem in St. John's, in Melissa's neighborhood. Let's see. list of Vancouver booths. Seriously.
Well, the woman who runs the day and night market of Vancouver says a lot of the drunk people come in here and they steal stuff.
Well, you know, all right. Why is it our problem that you can't keep people from stealing things in your store? That sounds like a YP. You don't hear Safeway complaining about it. You know, Safeway, yeah, you know, people come in and they steal things. Therefore, we need to remove Hostess fruit pies. Let's see. The Vancouver, Washington City Council wants to ask downtown retailers to stop selling high alcohol. Really, that's where people need it the most, though, is in downtown Vancouver. That's where people need to drink. I mean, it's notable that they're not asking people to remove all of these alcohol products from Lake Oswego. You know what I mean? Nobody in Lake Oswego needs to... Nobody in Lake Oswego wakes up and looks out the window and says, God damn, I need to be drunk. Oh, for the love of God, someone please intoxicate me.
Oh, if life were only better and I had a job at that Del Monte plant in St. John's. Maybe someday. Please, where's the Thunderbird?
If only I lived in Rick Emerson's gated community. What's now a voluntary ban could turn into a legally mandated one if the Washington Liquor Council Board joins the effort. Is the Washington Liquor Board nearly as anachronistic as the Oregon Liquor Control Commission?
I'm not sure what they do there.
Yeah. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission, well, first of all, they seem to spend most of their time getting arrested for DUI. But I wonder, apart from that, the rest of their time is spent enforcing laws that were created in 1912. Here's a list of the endangered cheap booze. Let's do a little bit of a game. Sarah? What do you suppose the cheap wines are they're trying to take off the market in Washington? Go.
The cheap wines?
Cheap wines they're trying to get rid of in Washington.
Ravenswood?
It's not even on the list. What is that?
I don't know.
That's an upscale wine.
No, it's a
$5 wine.
They sell that at Safeway. I've taken that to parties.
Bellisera.
No. You're aiming way too high.
What kind of drunk are you? I don't.
Think
I usually want to
think Vancouver.
When I'm stumbling into a Plaid Pantry to buy a bottle of wine, I usually don't look at the name of it. I look at $3.99.
Think Hawthorne Market.
Boone's Farm.
Yes. Well, see. As soon as I put it in the right context, 41st and Hawthorne, Boone's Farm. There you go. Cisco. I don't even know what Cisco is. All right. Is that an ethnic wine? Is Cisco like a swarthy?
It's a tropical wine.
A swarthy person's wine?
Ask Scotty J.
Mad Dog 2020?
Oh, that sucks.
Really?
Fond high school memories of that.
Most of your recipes will be lacking a key ingredient now. Thunderbird.
Night Train?
Yeah, and Wild Vine. Let's see. Here are the malt liquors in Vancouver. These are endangered, by the way.
Endangered species.
I encourage you
the
now.
The temperance movement is about to begin in Vancouver.
Temperance movement. Endangered beers and malt liquors in Vancouver are Busch Ice, Camo, Colt 45. Someone needs to get Billy D. Williams on the case. Ham's Ice Brewed Ale. Let's see. Hurricane Ice Malt Liquor. High Gravity, Keystone Ice, really? Mickey's Malt Liquor.
They're getting rid of Keystone Ice?
They're going to try. They're going to try to get rid of Keystone Ice.
There'll be a public outcry.
Seriously. Mickey's Malt Liquor. God damn, where are the hicks going to be without Mickey's Wide Mouth to drink? God. Miller High Life Ice.
That.
Listen to that.
Oh, not Miller High Life?
Now they've gone too far.
not Miller High Life. Miller High Life Ice.
What's the difference?
Miller High Life is that it comes in the bottle.
I know, but what's the difference between that and the ice?
I don't know. I've never had the ice. I hope there's a difference. They better not be taking that.
They
way.
Best not be taking my Miller High Life ice. Sarah ain't going to have that. All right. Milwaukee's Best. These are all ice beers. Does that have a higher alcohol content?
Mm-hmm.
All right, probably. Natural Ice. Old Milwaukee Ice. Old English 800. Yeah. Red Bull Malt Liquor. Red Bull Malt Liquor. Does Red Bull make a malt liquor?
I guess so.
Only for Vancouverites. It's a special.
I gotta stay awake so I can drink more.
You better not be telling me that Sparks is on that list.
Red Dog, Schmitz Ice, Schlitzball Ice, Sparks.
You're lying.
It's right there between Schlitzball Ice and Special 800 Reserve.
Where is this going to be taken away
Steel
from?
Steel Reserve, St. Ives Liquor, and Tilt. It starts in Vancouver, but you know what starts in Vancouver comes here. The ephedrine ban started in Vancouver, Sarah, and now you and I have to drink coffee to stay awake.
What happens in Vancouver sometimes doesn't stay in Vancouver.
Oh, it's true. Like some sort of a spreading fungus. It's just not right.
It's not right.
No, it's just not. All right. Let's see. What are we, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Hey, in lieu of this morning and last night's activity, I have a great sponsor you guys need to get that Scotty J could probably personally do his soft clothes on.
Okay.
That would be 1-800-DIVORCE.
Yes.
Hey, man. Well, Scotty could do that.
Hey, man. My wife is taking everything I own.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Long time to wait for a good joke, though. Hi, you're the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, by the way, Scotty J does the best job of call screening I've ever heard in my life.
How do you judge that?
He's the gold standard.
I'm kidding. I mean, I call him, I say, I tell him my name, he goes, what do you want to talk about? I said, St. John's. Great. That's it. That's all. He doesn't know what I, you know, this could have been completely off topic.
Fantastic.
The liquor ban is enforced in downtown Portland. That thing that you guys are just discussing.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Now, you can't buy all that weird stuff down downtown, in downtown Portland.
I thought there were liquor stores in downtown Portland. Like,
No. You can get, I'm sorry, the high test wines and things. They did that a long time ago. Down around Burnside, where all the winos were.
Well, now, is that on East Burnside, you can buy Sparks, but you can only buy it in a 6-pack.
Is that,
or 4-pack.
Really? Mm-hmm. If you're going to drink this, you have to drink a lot of it. What is the logic there? You have to buy Sparks in a 6-pack. Look, if you're going to F yourself up on malt liquor, you've got to really, really get drunk.
You can make more trips in your car to go back and get more.
Well, it's enough to hold you till you get to Powell Boulevard in 30 seconds.
Now, seriously, what is that? Doesn't make any goddamn sense. Hey, look, we don't want you buying the Sparks, but if you're gonna, you have to buy at least 4 of them. It makes no sense at all. That's like when I lived in Utah. In Utah, if you buy, you know, a lot of states, and I don't know how it is here, but if you buy a bottle of wine in most states at a restaurant and you don't finish it, they will cork it for you. And then I forget exactly what it is. It's like you can put it in your trunk or something. There's something they do where they reseal it so you can take it home. In Salt Lake City, you can't do that. So if you order a bottle of wine and don't finish it, you're obliged to finish the entire thing at your table because they won't let you take it with you. So you have to finish the entire bottle of wine before driving home. You're required. All right.
Fantastic. Hey, my comment about St. John's. I live in St. John's.
Yeah.
And
are you drunk?
No.
Do you own a home?
Yes, I do. In fact, Tim, I was going to ask Tim, the movie that he was in, the Music Within, did he go to the house that they filmed that in St. John's?
No, I was at the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
I was a restaurant patron sitting right next to Ron, what's his name?
I see. Well, I own the house that they filmed it in.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to be able to give, are you going to be part of that exciting St. John's movie tour someday? walking tour of St. John's?
Yeah, me and all the hobos. Anyway, you're right. St. John's there's a nice side and a bad side. I'm on the nice side. I like it.
Well, I used to live in the Beverly Hills section of St. John's.
Which was where?
Right next to the right next to Roosevelt High.
Yeah, that's exactly what people think of. All right.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Say hi to Melissa for me.
All right. I still do own a home there. It's a real estate investment of mine.
Of course. Burgeoning property values. You can buy like Boone's Farm apple wine and all that stuff. We were just at the Hawthorne Market the other day doing a little side project of our doing some photographs. And it was like there's a whole huge swath of low-price, high-octane wines you can buy there. So fear not. They won't come for you quite yet. But this is how it starts. They start with Vancouver and then it moves into the city. Is that a voluntary thing in downtown Portland that you can't buy cheap wine and
I don't
Sparks?
Think anyone hanging around downtown would voluntarily not drink.
No. That's can we get you to give up wine for a week? No.
I'll shoot you.
All right. This email says, Rick, oh man, all the guys I went to high school with in Vancouver won't have anything to drink while they're working on their Malibus and Grand Prix. What is it with Vantucky? What is Vantucky going to do with all the burnout hillbilly cars with a 45 and Colt Mad Dog? I don't know. This email says, you can have my St. Ives when you pry it from my cold dead hands. Death to Whitey. That's not the opinion of the Rick Emerson Show. The Rick Emerson Show is not urging death to Whitey. That would be wrong. Here's Tim Riley.
There were just too many of them.
Yeah, they would take all day. It's nothing but work. You have to stop and rest constantly. Okay.
Well, this should come to a surprise to everyone. Ready for this headline? A Rose Festival carnival worker is charged with murder.
No.
Yes.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Murder?
I barely knew her.
29-year-old Justin Hopkins was beaten to death on June 1st, but didn't go to the hospital until 7 days later, and he later died a short time after that. Chad Dinger and Enzel Bowler.
Wait, Dinger?
I barely knew her.
Bowler?
I barely knew her.
Have been arrested for the murder.
Murder?
I barely knew her.
Now, Dinger worked at the Waterfront Village during the Rose Festival.
I'm sorry. Is this what people mean when they say that we're crass and unfeeling?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just checking.
I barely knew her.
So that's that. I don't even know what the story was. First of all, who's dead?
A fellow
named Justin Hopkins?
Yes.
I used to know a guy named Justin Hopkins. I wonder if that's him.
He's 29.
And will be forever. Okay. So he's dead. Who killed him? Some carnies?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Some carnies.
Rose Festival carnies.
Some Rose Festival carnies allegedly were nefarious types who might engage in crimes now and again. Hey, did you ever find out if that story is true, that the carnies left some dude sitting on top of the
I think that was an urban legend.
Really?
Yeah.
Not real?
But the deer story was real.
Oh, about the deer running around?
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. This is Chuck.
What's up?
Hey, there's a fortified wine and malt liquor ban in Portland. I believe the city council passed it, and it's been around for years. And usually, what happens in Portland filters out to Vancouver.
Now, let's stop here. What is fortified wine?
Fortified wine is just a cheap wine that they dump grain alcohol into. And it's the same with malt liquor.
All right, okay. And so it's always been illegal in certain sections of Portland?
No, I would say within 4 or 5 years. And the reason that you buy 4 or 6 of them at a time is so some panhandler doesn't get up 69 cents or whatever and go in and buy a single.
So this is to motivate panhandlers to work harder so they can buy 4.
Or to work in the suburbs.
Yeah.
But now Cisco.
Yeah.
Cisco is probably the strongest, nastiest fortified wine out there. It's probably the strongest stuff you can buy outside of a liquor store in Oregon or Washington.
How strong is it?
It's like 30%.
No way.
Yeah, serious. And it's, I found out about years ago down in Vegas, I had some freight dock workers that I worked around, and I swear to God, there was one guy saying he's going to get some Cisco, and the other guy who was into heroin was like, I won't F with that Cisco.
Don't touch it, dude. Now, what is the average proof of your typical wine?
A table wine is like anywhere from, say, 9% to 12%.
So that's like 4 to 6 proof.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is 30 proof or 30%?
30%.
Okay, so it's 15 proof. Okay.
It's like 3 times stronger than normal table wine.
All right. Well, we ought to, and it's called Cisco.
Hey, have Scotty try some.
You're reading my mind. I was just thinking, it's an exciting new project for Scotty.
Great minds work alike. So are ours, Rick.
Clearly, he's not going to be spending any time with his children. He'll need something to do to fill the long, lonely hours by himself, sitting in his car.
Under the bridge?
Yeah.
In a van down to river?
Yeah. Well, there's that lack of empathy again. Damn. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Rick.
All right,
there you go.
All right. What an interesting program. Let's get one more here.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Hi, George. What's up?
The reason they don't want to sell the fortified wines and beers and so forth in smaller increments is they want to raise the demographic that's going to buy it. So they don't, you know, if you can just panhandle and get a dollar, then you can run in and buy a single bottle. And so that cuts down on the use by gutter punks and the homeless and that kind of thing.
I'm just saying all it's going to, look, here's the thing. If you require that they have like $8 or $4 or whatever it is to buy a six pack of Sparks, all they're going to do is just mug me for the money. You know what I mean?
True.
I'm going to be walking along, and they're going to pipe me in the back of the head and take some cash so they can go buy it.
Well, I've always been in favor of your idea, which is to put big industrial barrels of drugs and alcohol on the corner.
Huge empty barrel, you know, and then you just fill it with drugs.
Yeah.
And you just say, look, free drugs for whoever wants them. You know, because you and I will walk by and go, no, thanks. But you know what? Those guys will walk by. They'll do enough that they won't be a problem by this time next week.
Unless they're filled with caffeine, then you got a problem.
That's true, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Uh-oh. Toothpaste from China, as you may recall, because it may contain a chemical used in antifreeze.
Okay. At least your mouth will stay nice and warm during the winter months.
This is Sure Fresh Mint Fluoride.
Is it S-U-R-E or is it
S-H-I-R?
Really?
Yeah. Sure fresh.
Sheer fresh. Sure. Sheer fresh.
Please, if your consumer had any reaction to using this product,
please
fax the FDA at 1-800-FDA-0178 or to mail in a form right to MedWatch, 5600 Fisher Lane, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Please send $5 to Antidote, care of. Let me ask you this.
This will have a highly toxic effect on your nervous system, including your kidneys and liver.
Liver?
170,000 tubes have been imported from China and sold to wholesalers mostly from South Florida.
At dollar stores.
Uh-oh, let's see. It's not clear when the products made their way to Oregon.
Well, you know that. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Does it strike you that the people who would buy sure, fresh toothpaste have access to a fax machine in their home?
That's a good question.
What are the odds of that, really? I mean, let's speak plainly.
Oh, that sure, fresh smile.
This email says, you have to stop playing that sound or I was attempting to chew my sandwich and then I choked on my cheddar. Cheddar?
I barely knew her.
I think that was a setup, but what are you going to do?
All right.
So, if you have brushed yourself with... Well, just don't swallow your toothpaste. That seems to solve that problem. You know, it says right... Doesn't all toothpaste say in big letters, don't swallow this product? Because it gives you the runs and the so forth. And also, fluoride is a communist plot, but mostly the runs.
All right. You know, Clackamas County is going to rename Squaw Mountain Road.
Now, let's stop. What?
Clackamas County is going to rename Squaw Mountain Road.
What was it before? Oh, they're not going to name it Squaw Mountain Road. They're
going to
rename it.
They're going to change it. Okay. They're wiping that name off and considered derogatory. Let's see. The word squaw will be changed with... Temela.
I know we've had this conversation before, but I thought a squaw was a bird.
No.
We have had the derogatory term toward a female Indian, I think.
It is of the Chinook Wawa origin.
A Chinook Wawa is a drink, I think. Oh, no, that's a Maui Wowie.
Maybe Scotty's had that one.
Please to be serving me one Chinook Wawa and some curly fries. So, never mind. I don't want to have the whole conversation again. What are they changing it to?
Now I don't remember.
Okay.
Kamala, I believe.
What does that mean?
It means tomorrow or afterlife.
Do you really want to name a road afterlife?
Talk to the people in Clackamas County.
Is that their
county commissioners?
Is that their dead man's curve?
Yeah.
There'll be a gripping chant about it sung by Jan and Dean.
Uh-huh.
All right. This email says, Rick, I don't think Melissa understands exactly what's going on when she speaks from within St. John's. When someone talks about the sense of community in St. John's, it's referring to the necessary huddling together of the non-criminals as a defense mechanism, like the Road Warrior, a defense against meth users seeking to break into houses of the innocent to steal their copper wiring. Most of the people I know who own homes in St. John's aren't drunks either. They have to stay coked to the gills so they can defend their property with a shotgun. And the depressant nature of alcohol has a negative impact on their vigilance. In regards to buying cheap wine and malt liquor in the Couvre, if the people who can currently afford to buy this type of alcohol have it taken away from them, do you think that they're going to up their taste of Franzia and Budweiser and pony up the money for it? No. They're going to begin robbing people so they can afford the increased amount of lower-octane booze that it takes in order for them to forget that they are in Vancouver. There you go. That is correct, sir. You have once again, you have defined the undefinable. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We should probably break here. It's 12:30. Back after this, more of Tim Riley right here on AM 970 Solid State Radio. The AM 930 Noon News Hour continues next. Later on, Jim Roop, Sarah Dillon's Top 5 Drunken Karaoke Songs, and we'll talk to Scotty J and Dennis Pitzenberg as well. You stay right there. Emerson Radio Program. Rick, this email says, I love this audience. Sparks will make you all kinds of crazy, Rick. It has the alcohol content of a fortified beer and the caffeine content of a double espresso. I've witnessed people at parties who put a few sparks back and suddenly they feel no pain. Friends of mine have injured themselves dancing and they just keep going, slinging blood all over the place.
Sparks isn't meant for multiple consumption. You need like one spark sticking off your night.
So I guess it's okay for people of Vancouver. They can dream unreasonable dreams. Someday I'm going to go to Centralia. Maybe tonight.
I love the idea of someone injured just slinging blood around because they're so blitzed on sparks they don't realize it. He says, my good friend Dan would pound back the sparks and sit at his computer, alternating between intently writing C code and screaming at the screen as if he were housebreaking a dog. Stay far away from the sparks. And then this email says simply, quit ripping on Vancouver. Well, I don't think that's going to happen, sir. Here's Tim Riley.
It's Kelly Clarkson's heartbreak.
She says she's never been in love.
Well, what can you do?
Kelly Clarkson, who rails against a former old flame in her new song, Never Again, says
she's never been in love.
Yes, I love my friends and family, said the Grammy Award-winning silver voice singer of American Idol.
Grammy!
But I have never said the words, I love you, to anyone, ever. She doesn't take romance lightly. Here comes the fill-in-the-blank form from the PR people. Kelly Clarkson is very old school, conservative in thinking when it comes to relationships. Love is something you work at. It doesn't come easy. It's, there are going to be bad days. You're going to have to work at loving somebody.
Are these lyrics, or is this like her interview?
This is from the her people.
Oh, I see.
Kelly's people.
Okay.
My point of view is that I shouldn't be a mother at all because I'd be horrible. I am not willing to be that selfish. Marriage and motherhood aren't in the cards for Clarkson, right now anyway. She's more devoted to her fans. Yes, I'm a good singer, so I can't possibly be a good writer, she continues. But didn't she just write her whole album?
Yes, it was then rejected by her record label.
Okay, so maybe she's bitter about that.
Yes. Rick, pleased to be stopping making fun of the coup. Get out from your gated community and support our high-octane malt liquor, or else we'll be forced to break into your gated community and steal your Hennessy. Best show ever. Vancouver loves you. Thank you. Rick, there's a market owned by our Asian friends on 78th and Gleason that sells many wonderful flavors of Cisco. It comes in flavors. They come in four packs, but you only need two to begin hallucinating. Just thought you'd like to know. Thank you. That's from Mike. All right, here's Tim Riley.
And with a third, you'll murder somebody under a bridge. Al Sharpton is once again criticizing the deal with Paris Hilton. I don't know what he said today, but
how concerned is beyond this tabloid hysteria around Paris Hilton? And what about the person in South Central or in East L.A. that cannot get the attention on their medical condition, psychological condition, or the fact that they do not have the proper resources to defend themselves?
I believe it's no longer called South Central L.A.
No, you're supposed to just call it South L.A. now.
That sounds classy.
It is considered politically incorrect to call it South Central L.A., and it's made all the difference, by the way. Just taking the central off there, that's changed everything. It's a flourishing community filled with all kinds of upwardly mobile citizens now.
It is. Tony Snow, who's back at work again, said the president understands why Americans don't like the immigration bill.
1986, there was an immigration bill passed. It didn't deliver on any of the promise. It didn't provide border security. There were no punishments for crossing the border illegally. And I think there's a baseline of skepticism with the American public where people say, look, you passed a law once, it didn't do any good, why should we trust you now?
Well, because we have places like Del Monte. What does it matter? Tony Snow said the president knows some of the conservative party do not agree with him sometimes.
We think that there really is a strong base of support here. We do understand that there are some within the Republican Party who are opposed and who will not support the president, but we also understand that there are quite a number of Republicans who agree with the baseline principle.
I don't even understand what he's saying. I wasn't really listening to any of that. It doesn't matter.
The president's been in Albania lately. Did you know that? And he has... And he had his watch stolen while shaking hands with the crowd. But Tony Snow said he took it off his wrist and put it in his pocket, but the video doesn't show that. It shows him going into the audience with a watch on his arm and pulling his hand out with a watch gone.
Well, he's lucky in Albania. You pull it back and it just pull back a stump. I mean, they'll steal your bones if you're not careful in Albania. The president's going to, he can no longer go to decent countries. He now has to go to countries that are essentially fictitious. I think Albania doesn't even sound like a real place.
No, it is. As a matter of fact, one of the main reasons why he's going there, and they're not telling us this, is they have agreed to accept some of the terrorists from Guantanamo Bay, because how bad could they be as compared to your normal on-the-street Albanian? So nobody else wanted these guys. They're trying to empty out quietly Guantanamo Bay. But nobody wants these guys.
So Albania is to Guantanamo as Florida was to Cuba?
Yes.
Back in the day, in the 60s?
All right. And they can mix in with your normal everyday Albanian.
They need
the
more
street.
People for their pyramid scheme. Our Ponzi scheme is running out of victims. Pleased to be sending us Gitmo prisoners.
So it used to be a communist country, so the president has decided to dedicate a new memorial to victims of communism.
He says future generations must remember the horrors of the past.
We dedicate this memorial because we have an obligation to future generations to record the crimes of the 20th century and ensure they're never repeated.
He says today's Al-Qaedans are like the communists of old.
Like the communists, our new enemies are dismissive of free peoples, claiming that those of us who live in liberty are weak and lack the resolve to defend our free way of life. And like the communists, the followers of violent Islamic radicalism are doomed to fail.
Meanwhile, the audience of Albanians just busy rolling over dirt clods looking for dinner. They have no idea what he's talking
about.
Well,
that watch will feed a whole village of Albanians for a year.
He's been collecting a bag of toenails to make into soup. Just a whole lot of nothing. The whole, not even listening to a word he says.
All right.
I'm sure the average Albanian is fluent in English.
Well, here's the other thing. All these Guantanamo Bay people who, they moved to Albania, they said, yes, start a new life here, but we can't give you a job unless you learn Albanian. So begin today.
I'll get right on that.
Jesus.
Okay.
And I guess the government gave them a computer to use to find jobs in Albania.
In Albania. What are they going to plug it into? The ground? Where's a tree that I can plug this magic talking box into? I'm glad we have Albania to make fun
let's
of.
Let's see it. Job openings include holder of boulders. The other job includes swinger of sledgehammer.
This is the village welder and abortionist.
Another one is pick-upper of sticks.
That's so great. It's sort of like... it really is...
mule washer.
It really is like the St. John's of Europe, isn't it? Oh, good times. God bless you, Albania. Mm-hmm.
God bless you. Enjoy the president's watch. He did not put it back in his pocket.
I wonder if they're going to take turns just passing it around the country so everybody gets to look at it. I was just thinking that. Look at the bright dangly thing. Oh, fantastic. Wonderful. All right.
So it looks like, at this moment, that Joe Scarborough will take over the slot on MSNBC vacated by... Don,
congratulations on getting on the Imus show.
Thank you so much.
Well, I think you'll be great.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. There are a lot of emailers that don't think I'm doing so great.
Is that for real?
No, it's speculation.
Okay, but they haven't announced that he's getting in the
game. No.
I mean, I like Joe Scarborough, but I don't really know anybody else who does. That's the thing, because he takes too many shots at the Republicans for them to really embrace him, mm-hmm. and the Democrats don't like him because liberals don't like anybody who... I mean, that's the thing, is liberals are just so unbelievably intolerant sometimes. They're just anybody who... Anybody, I mean, not that... I mean, I will say this. We live in this society that is so perversely... that is just so perversely turned around in so many ways. I mean, the liberals are just so insane half the time. They just don't make any sense.
No.
Like, you've got Rudy Giuliani, who is the presumptive nominee for the GOP for president. Rudy Giuliani, who is pro-stem cell research, pro-gay rights, pro-choice... And all kinds of big ticket issues takes what you would traditionally believe to be a Democratic stance, and yet we are supposed. So does Schwarzenegger. I remember Schwarzenegger speaking at the Republican convention, but when they were doing the nominating George W. Bush and whatever in 2004, Schwarzenegger up there, who again, you know, who's pro gay rights, pro stem cell research, pro choice, and yet he is up there, and we're supposed to believe he's a Republican. And yet, you've got liberals, on the other hand, who, just, if you deviate ever, just even incrementally from the established bleeding heart liberal platform, suddenly you're an outcast. They just kick you out to sea on some sort of an ice skiff to drown. So they're never going to embrace Joe Scarborough, and he's too left of center for the Republicans to ever really embrace. So I don't know. Maybe that's their strategy. I don't know. But I like the guy, but I don't really know anybody else out there that's like a Joe Scarborough fan.
Well, he's one of those people you really don't know he exists in a room.
Yeah.
You know he's there, but you can't think of what he looks like or what he says.
Yeah. No, it's true.
L.A. residents are being urged to take shorter showers, reduce lawn sprinklers, and stop throwing trash into toilets.
Stop it. Stop that right now.
They had a record low rainfall this year. It is the driest rainfall in 130 years. They say that every year.
I don't know if you've taken a good long sniff around L.A., but really what that place doesn't need is to shower less frequently. I mean, that place already just stinks like a garbage scow.
It's horrendous.
It really is. Los Angeles just reeks. Unless you get into like a really one of the really tony areas where they import air, I think, from someplace else.
And I was in Malibu, and I guess they import deer because they were walking across the lawns of Pepperdine University over the weekend.
Really?
So maybe they have like deer herders who put them out in the morning and take them back in at night.
Well,
because they didn't have graffiti on them or anything. There was no sign of vandalism to the deer.
Same place that Hillsborough gets their peacocks. So, all right. Well, so there you go. So if you're in L.A., shower less frequently and quit putting garbage in your... If you need to be told not to put garbage in your toilet, really you ought to go... Maybe coming here from Albania wasn't such a wise step. Maybe you skipped too many places in the immigration line, huh? What do you think?
Well, let's talk about the trial of Phil Spector.
You understand that? I'm going to talk to Jim. Can you hand me that story? I'm going to talk to Jim Roop about that later on. Encourage Roop to shower less frequently and not put garbage in his toilet. It's fantastic. What should we do with this tin can? I don't know. Stick it in the toilet.
Jesus.
Okay.
And criminologist Steve Renteria describes how blood was found in the gun, a stairwell railing, and Phil Spector's jacket.
There were four stains that gave me results that were consistent with coming from a single donor, and the particular DNA profile from those four stains matched the DNA profile from Lana Carson.
Okay, this is L.A. Can somebody find a decent recording device? I mean, seriously, the major studios are looking the finest in electronic equipment. What is that? Have them close and play.
Recorded down the hall underneath a door from behind a bathroom stall.
Fisher Price. Up to Iowa we go, where a woman is facing charges for stealing three rolls of toilet paper from a courthouse after an employee caught her taking them from the bathroom. The woman who stole the toilet paper is named Susan Butts. Although the policeman says it's laughable, it is a serious crime.
Eventually 3 years of incarceration for three rolls of toilet paper. I can't say it with a straight face.
That's sad. You're going to jail for 3 years and they're laughing at your name. Mm-hmm. So why did she steal toilet paper?
They don't really explain it.
Oh, wait, here we go.
It's Iowa.
Somebody just sent that to me. Forget it, Jake. It's Iowa. Somebody just sent this to me. Butts, 38. Was caught last week after an employee saw her taking three rolls of two-ply tissue from a storage closet. Butts insisted. This is like that South Park where there's the Butts family. And Cartman opens the door and they just have Butts for faces. Hello? Butts insisted it was the first time she'd pilfered toilet paper. I don't even care about this story. All right, she doesn't even work at the courthouse. She lives somewhere else, but apparently that's just the place to go if you need to steal your wiping material. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Up to Texas we go, where Fort Worth police think they've caught the leprechaun bandit. That's the name they gave the man for allegedly robbing several banks. And all of these, he wore a cap that said Luck of the Irish.
I think there ought to be some sort of a children's mascot called a leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
He brings you candy and then his arms fall off.
That sounds good. Lieutenant Dean Sullivan said they got a call about two men begging at a Walgreens store.
Our officers got there and witnesses pointed out one of the subjects who was found apparently asleep on a bus bench outside of the building. He appeared to be intoxicated on a substance other than alcohol.
When they searched his car, they found a robbery demand note, and a search of his apartment turned up items stained with dye used in exploding dye packs. Meanwhile, the baby boomers in Utah are getting older. Who's going to take care of them? Nurse Ruth Goldblum said that the baby boomers have been accustomed to expect the best since it took the spotlight 62 years ago, and it'll be not much different when they reach their 80s.
Medicine has never been able to say there's going to be a need and let's get ready for it. It doesn't usually work that way. Unfortunately, what's going to happen is, I believe, that many of these people are going to start having issues and they're going to start screaming, and we'll have to find a way to meet those needs.
They're going to start screaming?
That's what it said, yes.
Okay, and you know, now that since you pointed it out, now I notice it all the time. Again, with that bad recording right there.
What's wrong with these people?
I mean, and that's in Salt Lake City, where they have a modicum of civility. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, upstairs in my desk drawer, I got a thing that does flawless digital recording from Super Digital, superdigital.com. What is it that, I mean, what are they using one of Edison's cylinders or something to record this?
All right. Me, I got a better recording device in my house as well.
Yeah.
NBC's second search for the nation's best dance, two singers and comedians and bizarre novelty acts is underway. It's called America's Got Talent, featuring a new judge and wife of rocker Ozzy Osbourne, Sharon. She's hoping that someone other than the singer will win this season of America's Got Talent.
I think we've all had enough of singers. I mean, there are some very good singers, as it happens, that have entered the contest. But, you know, I think it's nice to see somebody else win.
Paris Hilton is suffering from an extreme mental condition.
Fantastic.
That's according to TMZ.com's Harvey Levin, who really kisses up to all the celebrities, no matter what they do. He says the party princess wasn't given the proper medication while in jail and caused a traumatic reaction.
She's on Adderall, which is a psychotropic type drug, and other medications as well. There was something about the combination that had changed when she was at the Lynwood jail that caused her to literally deteriorate, and I'm told it was a dramatic change in her.
I'm so
America's
tired of...
America's brokenhearted.
God damn. People using the word literally when they mean figuratively. Mm-hmm. Jesus God. It's like dictionaries were never invented.
And he's a lawyer.
Seriously. Adderall is that drug that I was all excited to take, and then I read a list of the side effects, and they seemed unpleasant. But Adderall, I was really high on Adderall. Let me rephrase that. I was not high on Adderall. I was bullish. I was interested in Adderall. Let's put it that way. I was really interested in taking Adderall until I did some in-depth reading on it. It seemed like the list of negatives associated with that drug were... They were sufficiently severe that I decided not to pursue it. Now it's all about Provigil. That's the thing I'm trying to track down through legal means, of course. But Adderall is that drug that apparently you take if you're ADD and it focuses you and it makes mundane tasks really fascinating. Like if you get to alphabetize 700,000 compact discs or something, you take it and it's becomes fascinating, gripping work. So anyway, so there you go. So Paris Hilton is she's going mental.
Boy band mogul Lou Pearlman is having an auction. Operating off permission.
A lot of junk here, you know.
I got a lot of phlegm. Lou Pearlman is the guy who created the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and O-Town. Mm-hmm. And I believe went bankrupt sometime last year. Just a big, fat, Tweedledee-looking bastard, too.
Some bidders are interested in items other than the gold records of NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys.
You know, flat screens, TVs, computers, chairs.
You know what... Chairs. Can I get a chair, please?
A Lou Pearlman chair?
We can go to the store, but no, let's fly down to Florida and go to Lou Pearlman's auction so I can get a chair. You got a chair, Lou? Lou Pearlman, you know who he looks like? If you've never seen Making the Band, Lou Pearlman looks exactly like that guy in Office Space who does the... here's Lou Pearlman. He's this guy.
Nine and a...
Oh, that guy.
Nine and a... Nine, nine and a...
Well, not going to work here anymore anyway. He's that guy. He looks exactly like him. All right. Let's see. Did you...
What?
No, I'm sorry. Hold on.
Is that a sentence?
Hold on. Somebody sent me a thing about Katie Couric. I'm reading it right now.
Uh-oh. Did she quit?
No.
Was she replaced?
No. She's not going to quit that job. $14 million. She quit you.
She's still acting like a tart.
Did you listen to that whole thing?
I didn't.
Oh, man, I listened to that whole soundbite. Just a grumpy, curmudgeonly old bastard. You can just hear the Shivas Regal just going right over his vocal cords while he talks, too. Just sitting there in his suspenders, drunk, soiling himself, bitching about Katie Couric. I'm Dan Rather. And it's just, you know, Dan Rather's another one of those guys who was about 56 years old and holding for 30 years. And then as soon as he got fired, suddenly he just turned into a 90-year-old. Suddenly he just turned into an old, grumpy, but let me find it. I have the audio. Hold on. Let me get it. No, apparently that show Jericho got canceled or whatever.
It's some show.
I think it was on CBS, but maybe not. I don't know. But apparently they're trying to get it back on the air by sending peanuts to the radio network. That's not going to help. Let's see.
Is it Charlie Brown's peanuts?
Yes. No. Let's see. What do we got here? Hold on. I've got this Dan Rather. Okay, this is Dan Rather talking to somebody or other.
Being that Americans just didn't want to accept.
Well, I totally agree with you, Joe.
He's talking to Joe Scarborough, who may be the new Imus.
Yeah.
And they have this picture of Katie Couric, which looks heavily photoshopped, by the way, because her face is all thin.
Very clear that I have nothing against Katie Couric at all. She's a very nice person, and I have a lot of friends at CBS News.
Yeah.
However, However, it was clear at the time, and I think it's become even clearer, that the mistake was to try to bring the Today Show ethos to the evening news and to dumb it down, tart it up, in hopes of attracting a younger audience.
Isn't he still a CBS employee?
No. Remember they told him to clean out his desk and get out?
But I thought he was... Is that how it was phrased? Dear CBS employees, we have told Dan Rather to clean out his desk and get out. I would just... What, just once, wouldn't you love to see a firing memo written that way? We have told him to pack his crap and get the hell out. I should write my own firing memo and just distribute it to everybody now and tell them, you know, in an envelope, and tell them to open it someday when they actually have fired me. So, no, I thought he was doing it, that lie that they always say, where he's going to stay and be producing a series of biannual specials for, you know, CBS.
No, that was Edward R. Merrill. I got the two confused.
I just don't think people at 6:30 or 7 o'clock at night, or even 5:30 in the central time zone, or 6 o'clock when it's seen, that that's what they want. This is the continuation of a trend that we've talked about before, Joe and Mika and John, and that is the combination of what I call the corporatizing.
You know what Dan Rather is now? Dan Rather is the grumpy old white guy sitting in his boxer shorts on his sofa calling a talk radio program to complain about what he sees is wrong with the world, and no one cares. No one cares. They're just sitting there looking at their watches, wondering when they go to the next stop set.
Tried to change networks.
The look on Joe Scarborough's face, too. He's just sitting there, and he's sort of got his mouth squinched up, and he's nodding his head, waiting for his producer to tell him when they can end the call.
Program at the same time. They've done all the usual things. They changed the set. They changed the executive producers. They changed the graphics person lately, forced out a guy who's been there, Ned Steinberg, for many, many years.
Now, this picture of Dan Rather, he looks so old.
All those kind of superficial changes. I do want to say that I think under Rick Kaplan that they've tried to harden up the broadcast in recent days, but that's a relative phrase, harden it up. The trend line continues of, as I say, dumbing it down, tarting it up, going to celebrity coverage rather than war coverage. I couldn't feel stronger, Joe, and I know from listening to you that you feel the same way, that this war, it's a terrible war. We've let the people who are fighting the war down. I spent the weekend sort of brooding, and brooding is not my nature, as Nico will tell you, brooding about the fact that, you know, we put these young men and women in this position.
All right, I'm going to ask you three questions and then a comment, and then I'll listen for your response on the air, Joe. A long-time listener. Thank you so much. All right, so there you go. So Dan Rather is now a grumpy old man.
Yeah.
Let's do one more, and then we'll break. Come back with Jim Roop.
Well, Fred Thompson is adding more big-name policy talent to his staff, and it's sure to get him elected, including Bill Frist and Liz Cheney. The older Vice President Dick Cheney's two daughters.
Come on, she's not the gay Cheney.
No, no, this is the straight Cheney.
Because, you know, we can't have that.
No, no. She is the older of the President's two daughters.
All right.
And did you know what she's been doing? She actually was.
Having lots of heterosexual sexual encounters, Tim.
Well, that's why she got this job.
Having lots of marital relations with her husband.
That's why she served most recently as the Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs and Coordinator of Broader Middle East and North African Initiatives.
Most importantly, she cannot get enough of penis, Tim. And that's really what matters here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important.
Well,
about
she does what a woman is supposed to do.
She cleaves to her husband, as the good book says.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important about that oldest Cheney daughter, and let's not forget...
Not the young one.
No. No, of course.
He's not wanted.
Sodomite. Even. All right. All right. All right, well, let's take this quick comment on Adderall, and then we'll break. Come back with Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Hello. How are you doing?
What's up?
I'm looking from the physician's desk reference right now in front of me. Adderall is a description of dextroamphetamine sulfate.
Yes.
Also known as speed.
Yes.
Also known as math.
Yes.
So, you might start counting your teeth.
I'm not taking it now, sir. I'm saying that there was a time when I've been doing some... I read this article in... is GQ still around?
Yes.
Okay, it wasn't details. It was GQ. I read this article in GQ about how Adderall was the new cocaine for stockbrokers, because it was like for people who worked a lot of long, you know, long hours, weird hours, and had to stay awake and focused. And, you know, occasionally I get the fatigue. And so I was thinking, Adderall, this is great. I got to find some. And then I read a whole bunch about it, and it seemed like it had like the potential downside was sufficiently severe that I opted not to have it.
It's quite lovely, though. I've had that as a prescription med since the 80s.
Yeah, you sound full of pep.
Time relief.
Yeah.
Yeah, time relief. But it also means that Paris is a speed freak.
You couldn't be more energetic, sir.
I try.
Okay, thank you. Seriously. You sound like he was having to speak through one of his nose holes there. There's a whole lot. I mean, it's like his mouth had just been sealed up. All right. By the way, you're listening. What was that, Tim? Artist rendering of that guy's call. Let's take a break. Be back after this with Jim Roop. Don't go anywhere. It's KCMD Portland, by the way. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. Kids, you stay right there. Jill Sobule.
That everyone's gonna judge me.
Yeah. I didn't eat today, and I didn't eat yesterday, and I'm not gonna eat tomorrow.
Whatever, you're just as girly as I am.
I'm gonna be a supermodel. I'm not complaining that I look fat in photographs.
I do. I don't know what's going on.
You look fine, baby.
Yeah.
You're all that. You know, Jill Sobule, I heard her. I'm sure that Wix is a fine company, but it is kind of sad. You know, she did have a hit single at one point, sold records and so forth. Now, I heard her was singing the Wix jingle the other day. I swear to God it was her. I can't verify that it was, but I swear to God it was. All right, 503-733-2970. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Before we do anything else today, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Jim Roop. Hello, sir. CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Jim Roop. Hello, sir. Hello.
Oh, we made him wait too long.
Jim Roop!
Give it to me, Jim.
Just going to hang up and stare at the phone. What is the? Are you attempting to call Jim, or is he calling us? I see that the line is busy. We got to figure out a better system, Scotty. Because if you're calling out, I know. But
just use the cell phone.
Do you understand, Scotty? But if you're, for the love of sweet God,
Scotty,
if you're calling out on the one phone line we have, and he is trying to call in, how do you suppose that's going to work? If you're trying to call him on the guest line, and then he is trying to call in on the guest line. It's not really going to... Fine. All right, fine. It throws off the whole day. All right, well, then you know what? Then we have to... Then we have no choice but to do this.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy.
I was hoping to put this off.
No, you weren't. You're a bad person,
Scotty J, please now to come to the studio. You know, here's the thing about Scotty, by the way, is did he come and ask you for food during the break?
Yes.
Like some sort of a grizzly bear at Yellowstone Park?
I had a corn dog that I left in the freezer like a month ago.
You missed Tim making the best comment ever. Tim walked into the kitchen and Scotty was sadly heating up one of your leftover corn dogs. And Tim just sort of said, with like the most innocent expression of the world, Tim just goes, "What's the matter, Scotty? Didn't your wife pack you a lunch today?" And then just kind of continued walking by. Hi, Scotty. How are you doing today?
I got to turn down this volume.
How are things?
Not so great.
Really?
They've been better.
Does your head hurt?
Sometimes, yes.
You know what we ought to do one of these days? Not today. Top five worst songs to hear when you have a hangover. Top five worst songs to listen to when you have a hangover.
That would have been brilliant.
Yeah, but you know what?
Today's is good.
Yeah, this opportunity will present itself again. Who are we fooling? Somebody out there, please be preparing the top five worst songs to hear when you have a hangover. We won't get to it today. We'll do it maybe later on in the week or the next. I'll keep it in reserve for the next time you're drunk, Scotty. How long could it take?
That could be a year. It could be
I'm sure.
Or when your wife kicks you out tonight, it could be.
So, for those who tuned in late, as they used to say in The Phantom, for those who came in late. So, Scotty went out to dinner with Sarah and I last night. We were having dinner with a prospective client. Had a great time. I won't go on and on about the business right now. We'll maybe talk about them in the future. But so, Sarah and Scotty and myself had dinner last night, replete with many cocktails. And after about 2 hours, I kind of finished up what I did, and I had some places to be, things to do, people to see, whatever, so I left. And you guys stayed for about another 45 minutes, and then went out drunken karaoke. Now, did you call Mrs. Jane, invite her out with you?
No, because the kids were at home.
Somebody had to watch the chillin'.
Someone had to stay home with the brood. Yes. I understand. Okay. So
you didn't even invite her? You just stuck her with your kids?
Well, we were visiting a client, right?
You just went out with, and please, and I don't mean this the way later. It sounds, but you decided just to go out with another woman and to go out karaoke.
Clearly,
anybody with a brain understands that it's not that way.
Right.
I'm just saying, you and Sarah decided to go out karaokeing, or rather, you decided to go out karaokeing with Sarah. Now, did you call Mrs. J and say, hey, if you need to get a hold of me, you can call myself and I'll be out karaokeing with Sarah?
No.
What'd you say when you called her to tell her you were going out after the client meeting?
I never said that.
Really? So you just said, I'm going to a client meeting and I'll be home after that?
Right.
Did you go home after that?
No.
What time was the client meeting over?
9:30.
What time did you get home?
1.
All right. How many text messages did you receive over the course of the night that you did not respond to from your wife?
Well, I think I got 10 or 11 total, and I didn't respond to about 6.
What were the ones you responded to?
Just saying stuff like, this is the worst night you could ever pick to go out. And
that is saying something, by the way.
Why that particular night was so bad, I don't know. Maybe she was having a bad night, I don't know.
Well, you know, I think, Scotty, that the time has come to clarify some of these questions. The time has come to find out. So, let's just, mind. Can you pot this down? Why don't you just dial Mrs. J here?
Scotty's such a trooper.
He really is. No, he knows that this is the best thing for him.
Karaoke.
What have you done?
Did you hit 9?
No, he hit a bunch of numbers afterward. Okay, hold on.
I didn't even know you.
Okay, just stop.
Okay, there we go.
Leave him potted up for a second. Okay, go. Okay, now dial. Can we dial out on this phone?
I think so.
Just dial. Well, all right, hold on. For the love of God. Okay.
Good bit, Rick.
File. Oh.
Why don't you come over here?
We have to do it on your side. I can never remember how this phone operates. All right. I don't know if you have to do it on the upper bank or the lower bank. That's why it is. I was trying to do it on the upper bank. You have to do it on the lower bank. All right. Yeah, I got to label this one of these days. Without you guys, I would never be able to operate. I'd never be able to do anything without you guys. Right? I can never remember how anything operates.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So here we go.
All right. Is this her cell phone?
No, it's home.
Now, is she at home?
I don't know.
Now, are you dialing home because you know no one will be there?
No, I'm thinking she might be there.
Where would she be if she wasn't at home? Would she be out working?
Right.
No, she wasn't. You said that she wasn't working.
You've reached Scotty J of Northwest Mobile DJ. Please leave your name and a number so I can get
your home number
as soon as possible.
You just dialed your cell phone number at the tone. Please record your message.
Hold on.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
This is not your home.
Yes, it is.
You are a liar.
Stop. Hi, this is Rick Emerson. We're looking for Mrs. J. Hi, Mrs. J. How you doing? It's about 1:23 in the p.m.
I'm gonna go see Scotty's phone's on.
We're trying to track you down. Just because, you're a great person, and we're desirous of talking to you about the many things. So, Scotty gave us this number, which he claims is his home number, but this doesn't sound like a home number. This sounds like a business number that he's trying to pass off as his home number.
A business number that I pass off as a home number.
Settle down.
Okay.
So, Mrs. J, if you can please be calling us at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 970. That would be fantastic, and we'll just try to pick that up straight away. 503-733-2970. Thank you, Mrs. J. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Bye now.
We can try the cell.
All right. Now, that's not your home number.
That's your cell phone.
So when somebody calls your children, they get the Northwest Mobile DJ number?
Yes. You are
embarrassing.
Shameless.
That's an embarrassing thing for your kids.
I need to do that, or people would call and then it would just, you know, say, hey, if you want to talk to the family.
Why don't you just get a separate number for your DJ?
I had one, and Comcast messed it up. I'm serious. I had two numbers. I had a business number.
So why don't you just get it taken care of, though? Just get a separate number for your business.
Because I used to be on AT&T, and it only cost $2 a month to have
it. You know, it's a poor workman who blames his tools, Scotty. So I don't understand this. So are you telling me that it's $2 to get an additional number, which is why you don't do it?
Yeah, it was a
double. So as a result, when your children's friends call, they have to wade through your weird, insanely smiley Northwest Mobile DJ message?
Yes. No.
Right. What's the other number for your wife?
Okay.
Sarah, can you help Sarah? We'll try you. We'll try your wife's cell phone.
Okay. Scotty, I'm very proud of you.
Don't get me in trouble.
Oh, of course not.
You didn't do anything.
We would never do that. See, angrily punching the phone numbers over there? All right.
Okay, hold. Put it on hold.
All right. And then I'll pick it up on the top bank here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here you go, Scotty.
Is she going to be with a client or something right now?
This is Tish.
Hi, Mrs. J. Hi, this is Rick Emerson. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm fine. How are you?
Hi. We're okay. We're on the air right now. Is that all right?
Well, sure.
Okay. Hi. You have a migraine. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be calling it. Am I calling it a bad time?
No.
All right. Well, how are you? How are things, Mrs. J? How's on the classic 1 to 10 scale? How would you say your day is going?
Other than my migraine, it's about a 10.
Now, am I allowed to, I don't wish to pry, now am I allowed to ask why you have a migraine? Is that just a stressful day or maybe a stressful evening last night?
No, there was no stress last night.
Last night was a perfectly fine and stress-free evening.
Yes.
You would say in no way there was anything that contributed to stress or perhaps any sort of marital discord last night.
Absolutely not.
What is it? You have locked in a cage or something, Scotty? What are you?
Bob and I are as much in love today as we were the day we met.
Okay, this isn't
when we walked down the aisle.
What is this, your sister or something?
Yeah, I gave you my sister's number.
So I was just going to say that I wanted to find out if everything, you know, if there's anything we could do to make Scotty behave better.
No, he behaves like a 10-year-old boy, just like he should.
So you find his behavior to be endearing in a sort of juvenile sense?
Absolutely.
All right, excellent. Can I ask you this, just real quickly? And I understand that you and Scotty are very much in love and you adore each other and whatnot.
Yes.
Just for my own curiosity now, from your understanding, can you lay out the night's events that Scotty took part in?
I believe I can.
Okay, but what is your understanding of how Scotty spent his evening?
He participated in meeting some potential clients of the station and was provided much food and drink.
Yes, that is in fact true. And is that the totality of the evening? As far as you understand, and do you now when you say no? What does that mean? Because I wasn't with him. I have to say this. I actually went home at a certain point of the evening. So did he go anywhere beyond? Because he's looking a little peaked today. So I'm just curious because I wasn't there. I'm curious, and he hasn't really been up to talking a whole lot today. So because I wasn't there, and because he doesn't feel very conversational, I didn't know if he'd done anything else last night.
Yeah, it sounded like he was able to sing a little karaoke and. Go to some very loud establishment and have a good time.
I rocked the house.
You did. All right. Now, is he a karaoke master? Do you find his karaoke skills to be impressive?
Yeah, I really enjoy it when he does it naked in my living room.
Whoa. Can you say that on the air? Okay. Disgusting.
Are you aware that that Scotty paid $40 for a cab ride home and only tipped $1.50?
I don't know why he tips
at all.
Excellent. Scotty, you know, I take it back. I believe your whole family is cut from the same cloth. You guys are perfect for each other. I don't really know what I was saying before.
Now, is it true that our home number is a business message?
Yeah.
What is, now may I ask what you did last night? Were you home with the children? Were you out at a social event of your own, Mrs. J?
I was showing some friends a couple homes.
She
and
was
then
bringing
I
home
was,
the bacon.
I was with my children and running them around to various activities that they needed to be at.
All right, so at no point were you sending Scotty a series of angry text messages last night?
Oh, absolutely I was.
Now, is that where those just sort of jokey, kitty text messages, or was it an anger that just sort of burned away?
It burned away, but they were just, it was all love.
And it was just, you were angry in the moment, but then that was burned away by the passion of sweet, sweet love later in the evening.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far. I was sleeping.
Was there a pillow wall?
I don't remember. I remember your arm was under my pillow, which is probably why I have a migraine.
Your fault, Scotty. All right. Well, you know what? I know you're busy. I know you're out there winning the family bread, so we'll let you return to your job, Mrs. J. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, sister. All right. Bye now.
Bye.
All right. There you go. Fantastic. All right. There you go.
Awkward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seriously, now, is your wife hitting the sauce in the middle of the day?
I don't understand what just happened there.
She's standing by her man.
Jesus
Christ. Did he just say standing by her man?
I'm trying to get past the fact. Let me ask you this. If I was to ask you whether or not your wife had been doing any drinking today, would I get a straight answer out of you? Sarah, can you back me up on this? Did Mrs. J sound a little...
That was weird.
She sounded a little...
I think she was trying to cover up.
She sounded a little medicated to you?
Covering up her anger by being polite.
That wasn't polite. That was brainwashed.
I really don't...
And I love Mrs. J, and I've talked to her many times before, and she does not talk like that.
What is going on? Is she on some sort of psychotropic medication that we should be aware of?
Maybe she just feels like the Rick Emerson listeners... need to know the true Scotty J side.
I really am weirded out by that entire phone conversation, and I don't think I'm just speaking for myself.
I thought it was going to be some, funny, awkward...
Seriously, I was waiting for her to, put a boot right to your scrotum, and that didn't really happen. she sounds a little hosed to begin with.
I told you I patched things up today. We just didn't talk too much.
It didn't sound like patched up. It sounded a little weird.
Hang on just a second, okay?
Is that Jim Roop?
It is.
All right, well, we should probably do Roop here in a second, and then we'll break. We'll come back with Tim Riley. I'm still a little weirded out by the whole conversation with your wife.
We need to discuss this more.
It's not like I was disappointed that she didn't just lay into you. I didn't even really know what was going to happen. She just,
You wanted to be a homewrecker, Rick, and you just didn't get that.
It's not even that. I mean, that would have been gratifying, to be sure. It's just that it was weird sounding. It really did sound like there was somebody there coaching her answers as I spoke to her. Didn't it sound that way to you?
It sounded...
With a knife to the neck.
Did she sound drunk to you?
I've never seen her drunk.
No, but I'm just saying, based on your objective assessment, did it sound as though she'd perhaps been drinking?
Or medicated or something.
Scotty, is it conceivable that your wife has been drinking?
Maybe she's heavily medicated due to the migraine. I don't know.
Let me just say this, though. Let me ask you this.
The answers were great.
At 1:30 in the afternoon, is it conceivable that your wife has been drinking a little?
No. She's not a big drinker.
Okay. You want to stick with that answer?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're running early behind here, but we'll welcome again to the Rick Emerson Show. Jim Roop from Los Angeles. Hello, sir.
How are you?
What's up with you, brother man?
I'm just trying to get good cell service, babe.
Yeah, it's a bit of a day here, as they say. So, good God Almighty! All right, well, it's okay. It's a little bit of an ongoing soap opera here, but it's okay. It doesn't need to concern you. What should concern you is this. Have you seen this? And I ask this question knowing you have, that L.A. residents have been told to shower less, and I'm quoting now, quit dumping garbage in your toilet.
Who's dumping garbage in their toilet?
I don't know the answer to that, Jim. From Reuters. Los Angeles residents were urged on Wednesday to take shorter showers, reduce lawn sprinkler usage, and stop throwing garbage in toilets in a bid to cut water usage by 10% in the driest year on record. And as Tim Riley noted, every year in Los Angeles seems to be the driest year on record. This seems
well,
we get
it just keeps getting drier and drier and drier.
Yeah, it's a story that we get every single year. I don't know. It's record drought conditions here. So I don't really understand it, but apparently somebody has confused their disposal with their toilet and vice versa. So stop it now, Jim. And I've taken a good long smell around Los Angeles recently, and fewer showers is not what that city needs to become more pleasant in an olfactory sense. You know what I mean?
Well, then if you, then I suggest you buy stock in some antiperspirant company.
Seriously. All right. So because we're now legally obligated to talk about it every day. So what is it? The latest thing we've heard is that Paris Hilton has ADD or she's on some ADD drug or she...
Well, you know, we haven't really seen the report, but that's what's been leaked anyway. TMZ's been leaking a lot of stuff, but they're very misleading in a lot of stuff that they let out. So, you know, I don't know that I hold a lot of credence in what they're reporting.
And so is she going to get time off for good behavior, or is it the full 40 period?
No, she'll get off. She'll be out around the 26th.
I mean, I think here's the thing is, I mean, really, unless she's just held down and just savagely assaulted by some sort of broom handle crew in the kitchen, I don't really know that there can...
Man.
No, I'm not suggesting that should happen. I'm not, you know, in no way is Rick Emerson suggesting that would be good. I'm simply saying, in a journalistic, dramatic sense,
yes.
I don't really know that we could peek beyond what has already happened. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. I think with Paris Hilton...
And I think that's why, you know, like TMZ was reporting it's costing, you know, taxpayers $1,100 to house Hilton when it's normally $100. You know, I mean, because we're grasping at things that aren't really there or that they're misleading it. Anybody in that CTC, that Correctional Treatment Center, and there's more than 100 women in that center, it costs the same. It's a hospital. So it's not that Paris Hilton's costing taxpayers that much money specifically. But TMZ would make you think that. So yeah, you're right. We're all grasping at straws now, or at least the drive-by media is grasping at straws. That just to have something to report on a non-story at this point.
And I mean, after Friday, again, really, unless she shaves her head and sets herself on fire or something, after Friday, there's just nowhere to go. I think we've just reached the climax of it. You know what I mean? Everything else is just the falling action, as they say in drama class. So
yeah, and just to keep the story alive, now they're going after Sheriff Baca. They're trying to recall Sheriff Baca now, and everybody wants an investigation or a probe. They want the feds involved. They want everybody involved. And I got to tell you something, man. If they reverse the procedures or the program that's in place now, every one of their relatives, when they go to jail, are going to have to serve their full sentence. They're not going to get out for good behavior or anything else. Everybody should just shut their mouth.
Excellent. See, that's exactly the kind of spark that makes you come alive on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, I mean, come on. You know, we're dealing with a city full of stinky morons.
Is it skinky with an I?
Stinky, because of the water situation. I was just trying to advance
a little bit of callback there. But. That's only because they can't bathe and they keep putting garbage in their toilets. Good God
City
Almighty!
Idiots,
it really is true. Listen, not Los Angeles, Los Idiots.
I'm moving. I'm leaving right now.
God bless you. Just put.
Keep heading north.
You and your family in a U-Haul and don't stop until you see redwoods.
I'm leaving myself.
Save yourself, Jim Roof. All right. Well, you know what? I can talk more about Paris, but I really don't care. So there's that, and we got Phil Spector, who's continuing to go crazy and so forth. So, hey, is it true that your mayor has some name that he mashed together with his wife's?
Yeah, so now they split up. I wonder where it's going to go.
Her name
was Villa, or his name was Villa, and her name is Regosa. So when they married, they combined their names, Villa Regosa. So now he'll have to go to Mayor Regosa or Pancho Villa, whatever he wants to call himself.
Which you know he's probably...
very funny.
And he's probably not going to want to do it because he's probably got all this name recognition with the voters as Villa Regosa. So he'll be stuck with his ex-wife's name for the remainder of his political career.
Well, which you know, it's kind of a smart move that he do it now because he'll be running for governor in 2010. By that time, well, next week, everybody will forget all of this. So it's not going to hurt his political career at all. So if he's going to dump her, he better do it now before, you know, his career is over.
I would, I'd like to leave you with this little bit of up news today, Jim. This is from Yahoo News China, Reuters. A Chinese court has jailed two officials after they let a blind contractor build a bridge which collapsed during construction, injuring 12 people, the Xinhua news agency said on Monday. When they knew the bridge was being built by a blind contractor, they did not stop it, they said, adding that the contractor, who is blind, had changed the blueprint, quote, drastically, without getting a cited professional to look at the design. After the blind contractor changed the blueprint, he carried out the work using only a roughly drawn draft of the plan, which caused the bridge to collapse. So there you go. Xinhua did not explain how the contractor was able to run the bridge building project, considering his inability to see. So there you go.
So the intellectual factor in L.A. isn't that bad.
No, that's what I'm saying. All things considered, my friend, dumping your garbage into the toilet is, I mean, that's not even, I mean, you're right in the middle of the bell curve there.
You go.
All right, enjoy the rest of your day, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Jim Roop in Los Angeles. God bless him. And finally, before we break, hello, Ross, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
What's up?
Oh, not much. I was just appalled by your cruelty to that poor innocent Scott.
Yes. Yes. What am I
doing? Throwing him under the bus. No, man, that's just harsh.
No, apparently it was. You know, apparently that, first of all, Scotty's the one who dialed the number. We didn't dial it. We asked him to dial his home, which he did. And then we asked him to dial the cell phone, and either which he could have refused to do. He dialed the cell phone number.
But you know what?
I think I speak for everybody when I say that Mrs. J was apparently nonplussed by the entire affair.
Yeah, she did stand up for him. I'm getting that.
It is true. It is. She did have that sort of broken submissive sound in her voice that he probably has been trying years to achieve. So, you know, what are you going to do?
I don't know. But I do also want to volunteer to, you know, go out and give you guys, maybe some assistance in your reveling and partying, you know, maybe give you an outsider's view of the peak of the night or something like that.
I'm sorry?
You know, when you guys are out in your restaurant partying and reveling or whatever you're doing?
Yes.
Just you guys need an outsider's view the next day or whatever.
Oh, I see. An objective reporter to relay the night's events.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, maybe. You send an email to Sarah. I guess she's taking, maybe she'll be taking applications for that position.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Take it easy.
Thank you so much. All right, got a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley, you're preparing news to grace the people with?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Fantastic. Around the corner, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, and the top five drunken karaoke songs of Ms. Sarah Dillon. Later on, Dennis Pitzenbarger. Again, Tim Riley up here just for you. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, call the authorities. It was either a Stepford wife or someone who's been put into submission. I'm thinking Mrs. J will be getting it when Daddy gets home.
And not in the sexy way?
Hello.
It could be interpreted.
Someone do an inadvertent overshare there? All right. It's 503.
No, Scotty's the one who walked in, and he's like, I didn't get any sweet loving last night. It was weird.
Uh-huh. 503-733-2970. We've been spending too much time with Joni. Ladies and gentlemen of the Ministry of Truth, here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
To say after that.
Let's not say anything.
I was planning to talk about the spotted owl, but after that, worth hearing about a spotted owl. After hearing a story like that.
Me.
All right. The Bush administration is cutting 1.5 million acres of Northwest forest considered critical to the survival of the spotted owl. We're going to be up to our neck in unemployment.
No, that's not true. That's not what he said.
We're going to be up to our neck in spotted owls and unemployment. The owl became a symbol of the decline of the Northwest timber industry. It was declared a threatened species back in 1990, but there are lots of spotted owls out there now.
Well, you know, the spotted owl. Were you living here when that whole thing happened?
No.
I was. And, Sarah, were you living in the Northwest? Well, you were only like 9, so you probably don't remember. I remember when the spotted owl, that whole debacle unfolded here. And, Jeff, you have never seen a section of the country go so immediately bonkers over
spotted
something.
Spotted owl mania.
No, really.
Were there like dances for the spotted owl?
No, I mean, but it was because the spotted owl just became the absolute emblem, the symbol of all that, in the opinion of some, was wrong with the environmental movement. And having a spotted owl, talking about the spotted owl, defending the spotted owl was sort of like having a Toyota in Detroit in 1978. I mean, it was really unbelievable. The spotted owl just became the most hated thing in all of the Pacific Northwest, because it was just, they just seized upon that as just sort of the EPA just has gone absolutely amok.
So it was a Northwest version of Paris Hilton.
Yes, it very much was. I mean, people who never even heard of the spotted owl, didn't know anything about it, immediately hated it and wanted them all dead. I mean, my father just immediately, he couldn't say enough bad about an animal that he had never heard of.
He probably wanted to remove the spots from the owls.
Exactly, by hand.
So, yeah, I lived in there with unspotted owls, and well, they were magnificent.
It's like when they did that thing, I don't know, it was in Florida or something, there was something about the snail darter, you know, and they were saying, we got to preserve the snail darter. I mean, that's what it was here with the spotted owl, so.
Well, so much for the spotted owl.
All right.
Well, this is becoming a national story. Those two teenage girls who claimed they were kicked off a TriMet bus for kissing. One of the openly gay 14-year-olds say they were shockingly removed from the bus by the driver after a passenger complained.
It was upsetting, not because it was somebody doing that. It was because it was somebody who's supposed to be safe. You're supposed to be safe around, and they're supposed to help you.
They're supposed to help you, kid.
TriMet?
The TriMet people don't help you.
As a matter of fact, one did today.
Really?
Somebody worked for... Well, what happened was... I had run out of my regular tickets that I usually use, so I was going to use my debit card at the machine. Well, both machines would not accept my debit card. So I saw someone working on maintenance. I said, how can I buy a ticket if it won't accept credit or debit card? Yeah, they know the system is down. Well, what am I supposed to do? I didn't bring cash. And he gave me a ticket that's good for all day.
Really?
Yeah.
God bless him. Well, you know, that's like, if you ever go to you'll go to some of those meters sometimes, and they either won't accept your card, or you'll run into one of those, there's still a handful of those coin meters that are around.
Nobody carries cash.
Yeah, but I mean, but I tried to use a coin meter, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. It was one of the few remaining ones that takes coins, and it wouldn't take them. It was like jammed. And what are you supposed to do? I mean, I didn't have a post-it note to leave it like trying to pay, cannot pay.
Yeah.
You know, and so I ended up having to park somewhere else because you're afraid you're going to get a ticket, and then it's your word against theirs, and that was the whole thing.
But anyway, a TriMet spokesman, Mary Fetch, said the driver received a complaint.
Someone on the bus was upset by their behavior, talked to the operator, and then the operator intervened. If they kicked them off the bus, totally inappropriate, totally against policy. Those things we take very seriously.
And if they don't like it, they can go live in the forest with spotted owls.
Seriously, we should stage a kiss-in. That's what we should
That'll
do.
That'll be great. Let's
just get lots
Call
of
it kiss-in.
Oh, maybe we shouldn't. Nothing's called kiss-in anymore.
Oh, that's true.
Zing. Interstage is get a bunch of hot chicks and have them make out on the bus. That's a great idea. That's a promotion that I can get behind.
All right.
All right, there you go.
The mother of one of the girls says she's worried about what the bus driver did.
The most major concern for us is that these were two 14-year-old girls who were traveling with one of their 12-year-old sisters, and the fact that they were kicked off the bus on a four-lane, very busy street during rush hour at a nonstop was very alarming to me.
In your face, TriMet.
So there.
This email says, about Scotty J and Mrs. J. Rick, I guess we know who wears the assless chaps in that family. Ha, ha, ha. Let's see. How about this? We've got this. Rick, do you think Scotty spent the morning punching Mrs. J with his words? By the way, punching Mrs. J sounds like wrangling the Wenatchee banana. Just thought you'd like to know.
Well, it should be known that Mrs. J did not make Scotty a lunch today.
No, that is true. Let's see.
Oh, lonely corndog lunch.
Rick, I think Ms. J is the Katie Holmes of the show now. I'm trying to put myself in Scotty J's shoes since we're in a somewhat similar situation. My wife works while I pursue a somewhat less than lucrative dream career. However, I work from home, so I take care of the household duties and do my best to ease the stress of my wife. Now counter that with Scotty J. He goes out for a drunken night in the town with another woman without telling his wife, who has to stay home with the children after a hard day's work. He ignores text messages and calls from her. I can't imagine my wife placidly thinking it was cute that I act like a 10-year-old. I kind of imagine Scotty J's wife strapped to a lazy boy, eyes forced open, Clockwork Orange style, staring at images of Scotty J washing over her, brainwashing out any negative feeling toward him while an IV drip of Vicodin feeds directly into her brain. I hope Scotty knows how good he has it. I imagine he does. But when this particular dam breaks, it's going to be ugly.
Well, it was work-related. Regardless of how you want to cut it.
Sure it was.
It was.
By the way, you missed a great moment last night when Scotty was really, really drunk and then kept talking. I don't even know if we want to have this conversation now. We're coming. Well, we don't have to break till 20, right?
No, we got time.
We got the top five. We got Dennis. So I got to talk about television a little bit. I don't even remember how the subject of assless chefs came up last night. But I remember Scotty at one point trying to explain why his brother and his brother's close friend would both own assless chaps, even though, as I understand it, that those are kind of pricey, not the sort of thing that you just sort of pick up on a whim at the dollar store.
I don't have them laying in
my
closet.
No, neither do I. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with having assless chaps in your closet. But Scotty was trying to explain why it was that his brother and his brother's friend would just have them laying around. And I think at one point he actually said, well, they just like chaps. Which was wonderful.
Well, he was trying to say that they bought him specifically to mess with him because of Brokeback Mountain.
It was part of the joke.
But then the lie kind of crumbled, and they had actually owned them the entire time.
Yes. Yes, it did. And I said, so they bought these matching pairs of assless chaps for this evening?
They could have been a two-for-one sale.
Yes.
At Macy's.
I'm sure it was at Macy's. And I said, so they just had these chaps sitting around just for this night? He goes, well, no, they did own them earlier. It really was fantastic.
This is really weird.
Oh, God.
I got to know Scott yet. It's strange when you get to know somebody who's already kind of strange.
And what sentence was it? What was the thing we were discussing with Scotty? And it sprang from the assless chaps discussion to some other discussion about Scotty's brother and his brother's longtime friend. And then someone made some observation about Scotty's brother and his friends and that presumed lifestyle. But all I know is that at one point, Scotty then began speaking, quote, well, Rick, speaking for that community.
And
he kept using the phrase.
Oh, maybe he's a spokesperson for that community.
He's a log cabin
that
Republican.
Community. This is after the antibiotics and the milk.
Yeah, he kept saying, well, Rick, you know, here's the thing about the community. And I said, what community? And he goes, you know, if you're a gay, here's the thing about. And then he would slip right back into saying a community or the community. So apparently Scotty is now Scotty is now the unofficial spokesperson. So just so we're all aware. So all questions can be directed to Scotty J. Let's see here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, donkey.
Hey, thank you. Hello, yeah. Hi.
Hey, I was just calling to say that give kudos to Scott. My other damn thing is, you know, you said Panhandlers move to the suburbs. I just got done driving through Sherwood and Tigard, and there's one on 99Ws on every freaking corner, practically, asking for money or food.
No, they're waiting signs for mattress sales.
Dressed up in foam dollar bill outfits.
Need money or food signs, and they are. They're moving into the damn suburbs.
Well, something has to be done. They're menacing Whitey now.
I know it.
Something that, and that will not stand, sir. The menacing of Whitey will not stand.
No, we need to take a stand all together and get rid of this problem.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks so much. Bye now. All right, I don't even really know what he was going to talk about there at the end. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Songwriter Sean Garrett describes the sound of Whitney Houston's upcoming album.
It's going to be a combination of the old Whitney and the new Whitney, you know. I think the record she got are very, very good quality records. So I think it's going to be extraordinary. Her voice sounds great, and the songs are really hot.
No one believes this. Isn't this like one of the same press releases we heard from these people like, I don't know, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
2 years ago, Whitney Houston's people were like, no, Whitney's coming back. Whitney's coming back strong.
She's learning and growing every day.
She's keeping a journal. She's in the studio right now. It was right around that, it was right after the Inquirer story came out that just talked about her sitting around covered in filth and pleasuring herself with a dildo. That was the next thing.
It's really hard to wipe out that image with any type of PR whatsoever.
Really?
I mean, use any graphic you want, but really.
Wasn't that just one? Wasn't like a bag of them?
Yeah, seriously. Well, no, because we heard they had an interview with the guy who ran a sex toy store and said she was buying them by the bag. And it's huge amounts of batteries, too. And just the idea of a scab-covered Whitney just sitting around and groaning. I mean, it's just a whole lot of...
Come on.
I mean, come on. It's just a whole lot of bad. Thank you.
Yeah.
There's no three-line press release that's going to undo that damage.
No. Ever.
Oh, good God almighty. Fantastic. Okay. Oh, okay.
Well, the man best known for being Jethro Bodine and the Beverly Hillbillies will soon learn if he's a step closer to building his casino in Nevada. They'll vote today on whether or not to grant Max Baer Jr. The permission to build a casino on 2 acres of land. It'll feature a 200-foot flameless oil derrick and reader board, along with 12-story hotel towers.
Is there going to be a Beverly Hills, Beverly Hillbillies themed?
It does not say.
Casino? Well, what
oh, wait a minute. It says Jethro Bodine's Beverly Hills Casino and Mansion, yes.
All right, well, there you go.
Why not?
But it won't say Beverly Hillbillies.
It does. Jethro Bodine's Beverly Hillbillies Casino and Mansion.
I wonder if he had to buy the rights, or if he's having to lease the rights or pay royalties or something.
Could be public domain, but I know that's an old show.
Can I just tell you, I had the weirdest dream this
about
morning.
Jethro Bodine.
No, it was not, but it was related to Jethro Bodine, sort of. Speaking of 60s television programs, you know, I had... Not a dream as such, but you ever do this where you get an image or a snippet of a television program or a little snatch of a song or something stuck in your head and it just loops while you're in a sort of half-awake, half-asleep state in the morning? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I wake up right away and have to take the dog outside.
Okay, well, never mind. Well, this happens to me. And this morning, I had the weirdest thing stuck in my head. It was just looping like a skip on a record. It was not Mr. Ed, the television show, mm-hmm. but it was... That AT&T commercial. Who is the guy from Mr. Ed? Who is Wilbur? You know the guy's name?
Alan Young.
It was a little segment of a TV commercial that Alan Young did about 20 years ago for AT&T, where he answers the phone in his living room, and he's obviously much older, but he answers the phone, and it's supposedly a different horse, obviously, but it's Mr. Ed on the other end. And he and Mr. Ed have a 30-second phone call. And then it's like, well, how did you call me?
Well, I called you with AT&T, Wilbur.
And then that's the end of it. And that whole commercial was looping in my head today while I was trying to sleep. It was the weirdest thing. I was trying to sleep, and I kept thinking about the Mr. Ed commercial. It was the weirdest thing ever. It was very strange.
So Alan Young.
Yeah.
With an AT&T commercial.
Yeah, it was him. And I think it was AT&T, but it was for some long-distance service. And it was him talking to Ed, to Mr. Ed on the phone. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why, but it was just stuck in my head. And I kept trying to sleep. And as I slept, that was the thing that kept playing in my head. And I haven't seen the television show Mr. Ed in probably 15 years. I have no idea why that was going through my brain. It made no sense at all. So,
well, I look for it. It said it didn't exist.
Well, okay. I know it exists because, and I even remember part of the dialogue. It was because, what's his name? Alan Young answers the phone and he says, hello? And Mr. Ed says, why, hello, Wilbur. And Alan Young says, Ed, is that you? And Mr. Ed the horse says, well, were you expecting Francis the Talking Mule? And then they kind of giggle about that, and then they, you know, and then they talk for like 15 seconds, and then they go to the AT&T Friends and Family Plan, and then there you go. And then it's the end of the spot. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know why it was in my head today.
I guess he was on the O'Reilly Factor also.
Mr.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I have that commercial.
You know, they should put peanut butter on Bill O'Reilly's mouth to keep him talking.
Is that true?
No.
Well, I'm working on downloading that commercial right now.
Really? Did you find it?
I think I have.
In the meantime...
I think it's on the O'Reilly Factor thing.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, my God. That was the worst sound effect I've ever heard in my life with the whole Whitney Houston thing and the vibrators.
Why, what sound effect are you talking about, sir? Right. Yes.
It's my God. That was horrible, man. I was eating a hot burrito, and that stuff just came out of my nose. So I hold you responsible.
All right. Well, it's what we do, sir. That's a sound effect ripped from today's headlines.
That was great.
All right. Well, we'll play it again into the commercial break for you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now. All right. Thank you. All right. Buys vibrators by the bagful, she does, that Whitney. All right. Did you get the commercial?
This might be it.
All right.
I think they play it during the segment on the O'Reilly Factor.
And they don't say the entire name of Francis the Talking Mule. There must be some licensing issue because he cuts him off where he can say the whole thing.
Okay, so let's see if this is it.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Back of the book segment tonight, the Factor TV icon of the week. One of the most endearing programs in the 60s was about a man and his horse.
Had you in this television set?
Oh, Wilbur.
Well, you left it on again last night.
Get me a remote control and it won't happen.
Next thing you'll be asking for is a color television.
Oh, no, no. I may be a horse, but I'm not a pig.
For 5 years, Mr. Ed is a big hit on CBS, and his star, Alan Young, was in a unique position. I spoke with him a few days ago.
A horse is a horse, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
So, Mr. Young, it's 1961, and there you are in a CBS program with a horse talking to you.
I tell them I got a horse that talks, and they don't believe me.
Why should they?
Now, what is this? Is this just the O'Reilly Factor?
Apparently, it's getting some award. That.
Gratitude for work cures an awful lot of
things. I sound a lot like Mr. Ed now.
Talk to me. I was just afraid he might not talk to me one day and I'd be out of work.
You've got to talk to my wife. Why did you talk to me?
Sorry, so from the get-go, you liked the concept.
I'm trying to find the commercial.
And Mr. Ed was confiding in you. You thought it was fine. It didn't diminish you as an actor, and you appreciated it.
Why is Bill O'Reilly talking to this guy?
He was a star, and I was a supporting actor.
I don't know.
We're going to go for a little ride.
Well, all right. Who am I riding?
This is a long way to go to find a snippet of a television commercial that I was dreaming this morning.
Hang on.
All right.
I'm going to have it.
Mummy. So when Lester had to, he used to spank his hoofs down again to wake him up. Ed would very upset and come over and put his
hands on my shoulder.
All right, so it was a real friendship between you and the horse.
Oh, for the love of God. Will they stop at nothing to pander to my in-laws? You know, my mother-in-law is sitting at home right now slapping her knee with a newspaper and saying, that's good television.
All right, here's Mr. Ed on the phone.
All right.
Was it difficult to work with the horse?
No. There was one scene where the phone rang. He had to nudge my arm and pick up the phone. So it went on.
Oh, that's just Mr. Ed talking on the phone.
Imagine how much Alan Young must hate talking about that horse. Imagine how much...
That is the highlight of his life.
That show went off the air 45 years ago. Yeah. Imagine how much he hates horses, probably in general. He probably kills every horse he gets a chance to. He probably despises horses with everything in him. All right. Do we have the... Scotty, do we have the top five? We have the... do we have the top five here? Do we have the Sarah Dillon's... I don't have the list, though. We have the songs. I do not believe I actually have...
I have a list.
Okay. Can you arm Tim with the top five list?
Yeah, I'm printing it. I don't have it printed out.
All right, Scotty, can you fetch that off the printer, please? Just bring that in. And we will begin today's exciting top five right here on the Rick Emerson Show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
I'm supposed to talk here.
Why, hello, Tim.
Oh.
Shouldn't Scotty be in here?
I don't know who's doing what.
Now, is this...
But should Scotty be in here to comment?
Well, I guess we can discuss this.
Best show ever.
Woo!
I think we used up all of our creativity last Friday on the Paris thing.
I wasn't here on Friday.
Let's just... Scotty, would you like to rejoin us and provide running commentary on Sarah's top five karaoke songs, which you were present for last night? So if you can rejoin us now. These are Sarah Dillon's top five drunken karaoke tracks as assembled by Sarah Dillon.
Yes, Scotty. In light of last night's drinking karaoke excursion with Scotty J, Sarah Dillon has put together these, her top five songs she loves to sing drinking karaoke to, with honorable mention going to Wilson Phillips with Hold On.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it require multiple people to sing this?
Oh,
don't
sometimes.
You have to get some girlfriends?
Well, there is such thing as the karaoke duet, Rick.
Who do you duet with? Please tell me Scotty sang this with you last night.
With, you know, the arms around each other and the other hand waving in the air, right?
Was Scotty the fat one on the beach?
Scotty's
Carney. Yeah. Scotty's Carney Wilson. Scotty's Carney Wilson.
She's skinny now. So there. I got you, Rick.
Wow.
You have to quit trying to be funny.
Okay.
You're only funny inadvertently. Sarah and I reached that conclusion today. It should be like a George Costanza thing. When you think you're going to say something funny,
just don't say it.
Don't speak. All right.
Heather and I have tried to sing this drunkenly many times. And we never managed to really sound like Wilson Phillips.
Yeah, well, do you like
shocker
doing duets? Do you like that, or
I like duets better than being up there by myself.
I don't.
So you remember that nice thought.
I hate duets. People always want to film and come sing this with you. I'm like,
yeah,
no.
You know that Wendy Phillips was Wendy Wilson was hot as balls. I don't know if she is now.
Was she the blonde one?
No, she was the thin one.
The one that kind of looks like Marissa Tomei.
Yeah. Yes. Probably ugly now, but boy, she was hot. Can I just say, I was watching The Wire the other day, and they were talking about a girl being hot as balls. They're in the elevator with some chick. She leaves, and the guy goes, "She is hot as balls. I'd do you to do her," he said to another man. It's all very amusing. So that predates the Donna Mike reference, so that's at least a year ago that aired.
Uh-oh.
My point is that Wendy Wilson was just completely stunningly hot. Carney Wilson was the best singer of the three. I can't believe I know this much about Wilson Phillips. Carney Wilson was the best singer of the three of them. If you watch the Brian Wilson documentary, I Just Wasn't Made for These Times, there's a great sequence where Brian Wilson and his backup band are singing the great Beach Boys song Do It Again, and Wendy and Carney Wilson are singing harmony vocals, and Carney Wilson really is an amazing singer.
Oh, she has a fantastic voice. I love Wilson Phillips, period. Like all, well, at least this album.
Are you not a fan of their later work?
Not so much. After Carney slimmed down and, like, turned blonde, they turned crappy.
Well, but she can still sing.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes you lose that extra, you know, like your diaphragm, you know, you lose the extra resonance space or whatever it is.
This isn't my favorite song. I can never find Release Me, which is my favorite Wilson Phillips
song.
Release
Me is a terrible song.
I love it.
You're not a big fan of Impulsive?
I
want to be impulsive. Breathless. Breathless.
Yes,
that's Carney Wilson now. Lose Myself in Your Touch or Your whatever the song is.
I want to be impulsive, reckless, and lose myself in your kiss.
Breathless. Hi. I'm a radio professional. Here's that Tim Riley's weekend on Sarah Dillon's top five drunken karaoke songs.
At number five, The Cheap Tricks and Surrender.
Fantastic. Good for you,
Sarah. I saw
you
last night.
Yeah, she did a great job.
Thank you, Scotty J.
Thank you, homie.
Okay, Linkin Park.
Yeah, seriously, Scotty.
That's why I wrote Dr. Pepper, You're Not Punk Rock.
Were you trying to sing a Linkin Park song? Which one?
He was, like, rapping.
I wouldn't say try.
Which song was it?
Numb.
Ah. Were you doing the Jay-Z part?
No.
You were rock rapping. You were.
Were you beatboxing, Scotty?
Your friend was really good, too. He sang an Elton John song, and he nailed it. And it's hard to do, and the guy was great.
Dougie has a really good voice.
I really can't poke fun because this is my go-to karaoke song, usually with Clyde.
We sing this together.
We have. Yeah, Clyde and I have sang this multiple times. Like at Karaoke from Hell at Dante's, Clyde and I have done this several times.
Oh, this
times.
Is like the greatest karaoke song ever. When Sabala's used to be Sabala's, Jason Sabala and I would get on the pool table and stand on it and sing this.
I love this one. You know how I feel about this song. Best song ever.
Now, have you seen, I never asked you this, so have you seen Cheap Trick in concert?
Oh, yeah, like four or five times.
One thing I wanted to do, I was in Vegas, and they were playing at the Hard Rock, and I could have gone, and I didn't, and I don't know why.
They come through town like four times a year. They're like Steve Miller. They're probably back like today.
I heard they're good.
Cheap Trick is fantastic live. You know what? Because they don't downplay the old stuff. They play some of the new stuff, which is really good, usually. Even their new songs are great. But you know what? They do everything you want to hear. When Cheap Trick, when they see them live, when they sing I Want You to Want Me, he does the whole, I want you to want me. He does the Budokan.
And the audience sounds the same, right?
Totally. They do it, and they don't try to change the old songs to sound different. They know it. You know, Rick Nielsen knows what the people pay for. They give the people what they want when you see Cheap Trick, and they play the That 70s Show thing. All right, here's Tim Riley's weekend on Sarah Dillon's Top 5 Drunken Karaoke Songs.
And number four is Tears Who Fears and Head Over Heels.
Really?
Yeah.
I love singing this. Actually, Tuggy and I will sing this
together. Like a Donnie Darko thing?
La, la, la. I just love Tears Who Fears. It's a fun song to sing.
I don't really think I've ever met anybody who's not my wife who said, I love Tears for Fears.
So I'm a huge fan. I have every single song they've ever done.
And you're weird. You're freaking weird.
I like all kinds of music. I even have country. tough song to sing.
Oh, the 80s.
The
80s were terrible.
I didn't think so because I was older, you know.
Tim knows every word.
Because Tim loves XTC, too.
This is a very XTC-style sound. A very, very sort of an alt-Britpop kind of a thing.
What do you think of the 80s, Tim?
I enjoyed them immensely.
Well, this was like your KROQ era, would
yes,
that be right?
It was.
Yeah, so this is Tim was in the right place at the right time for this song. Yeah, this song right here, this is my microcosm of my wife's record collection. A great song. I don't really care for the way.
I like this album a lot.
I don't care for the way it's produced, but it's a good song. I like the writing.
Have you heard the song Raul and the King of Spain by these guys?
Do you own the Tears for Fears box set, Scotty?
No, I've actually, every time they put out an album, I got it. So.
Is that still happening?
No, I am missing probably one or two of their really new stuff.
They're probably all thrown away tonight, Scotty.
I think they were, they either just played or they're coming to town. They either just played here or anytime soon. I was hearing something.
I'll check the listings at Outlaws. These are Sarah Dillon's top five drunken karaoke songs.
And at number three, Bonnie Tyler with A Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Of course. This is like every girl's top five drunken karaoke song.
Except, I sing the first part, like the turn around.
Now, again, do you have to sing this with someone?
You don't have to.
Does the karaoke track sing the other part?
No, the words aren't up there, but you can improvise. It's really not that difficult.
But I guess what I'm saying is,
I think it's intended for one person.
And so when you sing this karaoke, which part are you expected to do?
I do the turnaround to them, then turn around, bright eyes, and then we'll do the chorus together.
It's really complex. This is hard. Karaoke's difficult.
Especially if you don't follow the little red ball properly.
I karaoke twice this week. I don't know what's wrong with me. Was it the alibi on Monday?
It's got to be stopped.
Chopstick last night.
The alibi? That is the worst. Let me just say this. They have the worst class of karaoke participant there. No offense. Seriously.
It was bad.
Big welcome to our newest sponsor who just had an annual.
Really? Are you screaming?
Well, I don't know what the salespeople are up to.
I'm not saying that the alibi's a bad place. The alibi's kind of a cool place. I'm just saying, the skill of the karaoke performer there is like at subhuman levels.
I mean, in other words, bad?
No, I mean, it's terrible. They've got great drinks and great nachos. Their nachos are like the size of a car. Worst karaoke talent I've ever heard in my life is at the Alibi.
This is a terrible video.
Oh, yeah, no, it's
they're like
video.
Ninjas and gymnasts.
Well, can't go wrong with that. Counting down Sarah Dillon's top five drunken karaoke tracks.
That's a good one.
At number two, it's Cure, and If I Could Turn Back Time.
Jesus. The 80s never end for you?
Singing this song.
Is there a single song here that's not?
I can nail this song, except for the end.
That's something to be proud of. Put that on your resume.
Now, have you tried Believe on karaoke? Cure's Believe?
No. I don't really have an intro. I just really, really like this song. I sang this
at the Monday. You can just see Cher with the, you know, moving her hand in front of her like she does.
Some of my friends get all mad too because every time this is on a jukebox, I'll play this song.
You know, you did that top five the other day of male singers who sound female. Cher sounds like a guy about half the time when she sings.
Right, so you should do a females that sound like males top five.
Like you listen to Half Breed? I swear to God.
Half Breed's hilarious. I'm sorry, it's about a serious nature, but.
With How I Learned to Hate the Word? She sounds like a guy for most of that song. Same with Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. Great song, sounds like a guy.
All to you. I remember when that Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves song came out and I had to buy the 45.
You had to.
Yes.
You were required to.
That was a big thing for me when I was young. I earned allowance.
To buy your own share records.
No, I bought 99 cent 45s. The big thing was to get to go to like either Kmart.
I love the idea of a young Scotty J in a suburb getting a paper route so he could buy his first share record.
No, paper route.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Talk about berry picking. I had to berry pick for records.
I had I had to pick a lot of berries to buy these Cher records, said a young Scotty.
Did your brother come in and borrow those a lot?
Why, yes, he did, come to think of it.
So you're responsible for his choice of love,
for his standing in the community, Scotty? I've tried to explain that story time and time again.
Yes, you have. Tell us again what the community thinks about it.
The community's all for it.
Okay. Oh, wait, by the way, you want to tell your story?
What story?
About this song, this video.
Oh, how my dad was on the USS Missouri when they filmed this.
Is he in the video?
Right.
Can
you
see him?
I've never seen him. I've never looked for him, but he was there at the photo shoot, and she was in the net thing on the guns. And yeah, I remember.
Does it disturb you to know that your father was probably physically aroused watching her dance around?
It kind of grosses me out.
I believe she was wearing leather chaps in this one.
She was just wearing the Borat outfit.
Yeah, she was wearing...
It was like the full-on black Borat outfit with lace, with mesh.
No, she had the fishnet. She had like a fishnet shirt on, and she's like straddling the gun.
No, but what I'm... Yeah, but what I'm saying is... Stand up and show you. It was the big leather V, just like Borat, and then the red was filled in with mesh. But it was the business. The store was covered by a leather strap. That's what I'm saying. And then she was just straddling that huge gun. It's the best thing ever.
That's so weird. That's when the Navy started to confuse me. I'm like, wait, we're fighting a war, but Cher's straddling one of the guns? I don't get it.
Good for morale.
They were happy.
What does that really say about Cher? What is she saying about herself?
See, this is one of those times when you're trying to be funny.
Not at all, really.
I don't know.
Moving on. We played an entire Cher song here. These are Sarah Dillon's top 5 drunken karaoke songs.
And number one, at long last, it's Meatloaf with Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Totally. I should have seen that. Man, how great this is.
I don't have anyone to sing it with me anymore. My gay friend I used to sing it with turned straight.
And I don't...
What? Stop the presses. What did you just say?
Seriously. He has a girlfriend.
Did he just need the right woman?
We used to have all-night parties where we'd listen to Meatloaf and paint our nails and had the greatest time ever. Now it's straight.
Well, what's the girlfriend like?
I don't understand. How confusing.
It is confusing.
Is it you blame yourself for turning him straight?
No.
Was it your feminine wiles and he said, I gotta get me some of that?
We've had so much fun together. No, we don't.
By fun, do you mean sex?
No, Rick.
I'm just saying, if he turns...
We would literally drink sparks and wine all night and sit on the front porch and yell Meatloaf songs.
I was just wondering if perhaps you had a drunken encounter with him.
No.
And he then realized... Why the hetero lifestyle is the lifestyle for me.
For me. No.
Interesting. Do you suppose he's going to stay straight?
That doesn't take, usually. He's like, I think a year strong right now. A year.
Well done.
They'll get married, have kids, and 20 years down the road, he'll be like that senator guy who came out of the mayor of Florida.
The world needs more straight white men. There's not enough of those running things in America. Scotty, what do you suppose the community would feel about that?
The community is probably upset and in turmoil over the fact that they lost another member.
Another member. Are you trying to be funny?
No, that was one of those
mistakes.
See,
that's why it worked. You weren't trying to be funny. Well done. Okay. Well, okay. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Dennis Pitzenberger on the way and more from Tim Riley. You say that it's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson radio program coming up in just a moment. More from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend from PDXAutoClick.com, Dennis Pitzenberger. Why, hello there. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm dandy, my
friend. Rolling. I had a good weekend this weekend. The Champ Car races, it was neat because you get to meet a lot of people out there, and We had a huge giveaway on the radio program for this meet and greet with the drivers, Alex Tagliani and Justin Wilson from R Sports. And we had Alex in the show the week before, and he was a really great interview, really interactive with me as far as some drivers. I mean, you've interviewed some of the race car drivers. They can be kind of dry and kind of uninteresting. It made these guys feel great because he comes running through the crowd. He says, "Hey, Dennis, how's it going? Where's the guys I get to meet?"
Oh, for the winners.
For
yeah.
the winners. So they love that. And then, of course, it was, you know, then there's the funny part is when you're walking around and trying to network at a, you know, the biggest race in Portland. You know, "Hey, I'm Dennis. I do this show. I'd love to have you come on the program. Be interested in, you know, doing something about your products as far as, a, you know, something for content." And it's so funny the way that guys always look at you and go, "Oh, yeah, yeah, you're that guy on the Rick Emerson show. I'm like the famous wife of
Here's
someone.
That guy.
Yeah, you're just that guy with the talks about the, you know, on this, you know."
Like Brad Pitt is Mr. Jolie.
Exactly. Yeah. I am the Mr. Yeah. Jolie of the automotive world. But, hey, I'll take what I can get.
We'll talk about some other stuff here in a second. Before we do anything else, let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson show our good friend Cross Country Nate.
Hello from Wisconsin.
Are you in? So you're in Wisconsin already. Dude, you're making record time. That's like a what? It's like 8 days? 9 days?
Yeah, well, we've been chilling out on the Mississippi River for a few days.
Have you been riding a paddle boat and hanging out with Huck Finn or something? So you left Portland about 10 days ago, and they were now in Wisconsin. What is it? You were in La Trobe or something? Or
La Crosse? We had that wedding, and that reception was at the world's largest six-pack.
Is that true? That six-pack,
yeah.
It really is huge. It's massive.
Yeah.
So what now? What else did now? We talked to you, and you were in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. What else did you see after talking to us? Have you seen anything else of note?
We basically drove through tornado storm for 2 days straight, and we're just seeing fog clouds flying everywhere and lightning the whole time. It's pretty freaky.
Was it amazing? Was it like it is? I mean, it's a dumb question, but is it like when you're on the news or on the movies where it's the big flat horizon and then you see the funnel cloud and you can't tell how far away it is?
Well, it looked a couple miles away, but we were all at this gas station, and there's a bunch of people, and there's just pure silence, and all of a sudden, boom, it was like 70-mile-an-hour winds, and everyone's jumping around, flying down the highway. It was fun.
Jesus.
But scary.
Did it seem like you were, did you feel like you were in danger? I mean, was it like, "Oh, we're going to get out of here, this thing's going to hose us"?
We felt like we were in danger, then we passed the storm chasers, so we're like, they're in between us and the storm.
They'll
so.
Draw the fire.
Yeah.
So what is your, now do you have a return trip? How long are you in Wisconsin for?
We're going to chill out here for a week. We met some pretty cool people, and they asked us to stay on their in their house out on the river, and we're just going to leave next weekend and head towards Maine.
Excellent. So what is in Maine, or is that just, is there nothing there in particular? You're just heading that way so you can do the full swing around?
Yeah, just Portland to Portland so far.
Excellent. All right. So you're in Wisconsin for another week. So, all right. So best to your girlfriend and your son. And what you should do is let us know as you're getting ready to leave Wisconsin. And we'll kind of have the people weigh in because you don't have much planned for your return trip, do you?
No, not really. Just a few here and there things. I checked that map and there's some more stuff, but we don't have anything destined for sure.
Excellent. So let us know as you get ready to proceed from Wisconsin to Maine and back, and we'll canvass the audience and find out exactly what you should be hitting on your return trip.
Yeah, all right. We just got a bunch of Rushmore and Devil's Tower and a bunch of pictures up on MySpace.com/DoGoodRoadTrip.
And cool. I'm going to put a link to that on my site tonight, actually. I keep forgetting to do that, but I added you to my MySpace, and I'll put a link to that. Now, Devil's Tower, that's the Close Encounters place. Now, how big is that Devil's Tower thing in real life?
That thing is massive. It seems like it's like as high or almost as high as the big white building downtown Portland.
Right. That Wells Fargo building.
And yeah.
Can you get up close to it, or do you have to, is it like fence off or something, or is it just a wide open space?
It's like you can hike all the way around it, but you have to get a permit to go climb it. So we just walked around it like 4:30 a.m., no one in sight. It was pretty cool.
Cool.
Wow,
excellent.
I'm looking at the pictures of it. That looks amazing.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun.
Excellent.
We picked some plants and ate them. Kenesha's a natural pharmacist. But we found some edible plants, and it's
fantastic.
Pretty fun.
All right. All right, brother. Well, enjoy Wisconsin, and enjoy the world's largest six-pack, and let us know as you're kind of headed to Maine and on your way back, and we'll help you figure out some things to do on the way back to Oregon, my friend.
All right. Right on.
All
thanks,
right.
Rick.
Best to you and your family. There you go. There's Cross Country Nate, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God. These are the cutest pictures I have ever seen.
They are pretty adorable.
The perfect little family.
They really are an adorable Portland family. They really are.
God, I remember those times in my life. Being like 20-something and like picking things from the earth and eating them.
out in the middle of a field.
I meant to ask, actually, if he knew ASL before he met her, or if, you know, because she's deaf, if he learned sign language for her, because that would be even sweeter.
Aww.
All right.
You're getting all mushy.
No, it's.
I'm jealous now. I'm looking at this picture of Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to see Mount Rushmore.
Well, I mean, you have not
been there?
Mm-mm.
No, I've never been anywhere, dude. Okay. I go home. I come here, I go home. No, I try not even to do that. My wife tried to get me. I wonder how long I have to be married before I quit doing that. My wife tried to get me to Victoria last year for Christmas, and I was able to get out of that. So, F that. No, you know, here's the thing. As much as I love this job, and as much as you know, we have a great job, and I love getting out of bed in the morning and coming here. Not a lot of people can say that about their job. Whatever you were doing, you know, me, I'm sitting up in the office, you know, when I'm not here. You're looking at a cubicle wall, maybe, or Dennis, you're looking at your office wall, or Sarah's doing whatever. You look at the photos that guy sent us, and you look at the photos on his MySpace page. I mean, you know, while you're in your office, you're staring at a blank screen. That guy just kind of, you know, put a little cash away, and he's out there just driving across the country and seeing everything that you just see on television. So,
oh my gosh, he has a picture of the trackers.
Oh, really? The storm tracker guy?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
It looks like the Ghostbusters car.
Excellent.
Hey, speaking of cash for him, remember that I did say I'd put up a 20 if he runs short on gas.
No, we got a lot of people saying that. Let me know where to donate if he needs cash. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. Hey. This is Alexander.
What's up?
Hey, I wanted to talk to Dennis. I want some tickets from you on your show to go to the race this Sunday.
Yeah.
And first of all, thank you so much for that. I took my son. We had a wonderful time. It was a lot of fun. We enjoyed the race and the motorcycles and all kinds of cool stuff. But the reason why I was calling is I know your feelings about Paul Newman. And
what are your feelings about Paul? Is this back to somebody being the spokesperson for the gay community?
No.
What are your feelings about Paul Newman, Dad?
I openly loathe Paul Newman.
Oh, don't even. No. We're not having that.
I'm just saying.
We're not going to. Let's stop right now. Why do you openly loathe Paul Newman?
Why do I?
Use your words carefully.
Well, because when I was a young child, he was and has been a big spokesman for auto racing. And as a young child, and I told the story, and this is why he knows it, is I talked about walking up to him and saying, Mr. Newman, can I have your autograph? And he looked at me with this snipping, holier-than-thou attitude and said, kid, I don't sign autographs.
Okay.
I just as soon take his salad dressing and beat him in the head with it.
Okay, well, fair enough. I can understand that, especially if you're a child.
I'm 13 years old, and this guy looks at me, and I'm like, you know what? So, you know, Butch Cassidy's Sundance Kid sucked, and so do you.
All right, okay. Now, that's fair enough. I don't like celebrities who don't sign autographs. I didn't know that. See, and I wish I didn't know that. Now I wish I hadn't asked, because now that makes me think less of Paul Newman, who was. He was Lucas Jackson.
Oh, he was, Cool Hand Luke. I mean, one of the greatest movies ever. But I'm glad that you had fun in the race. I know what he's talking about, the motorcycle. There's a lot of little kids that had a good time watching. I think it was the I can't even remember who it was. It was a motorcycle team that was doing the big jumps and the heel clickers and all that. So I'm glad you had a good time.
All right,
well,
fair enough.
If you wanted one more reason to hate Paul Newman.
Yeah, why not? What's one more? Go ahead.
My son's 5 years old. We met him as he was leaving.
My son in the face. Yes?
And he was driving, he was being driven out in this minivan.
Yeah, I don't think he does a lot of driving or lifting or standing on his own these days. Yes, and
so he rolls down his window and he says, excuse me, young man, can you please move? And I said, you know, well, sure, but by the way, well, are you Mr. Paul Newman? And he says, what a bad day. This guy just won, his team just won the race. It's his 100th win. He should be in a good mood. So I say, well, you know, congratulations on winning the race. His reply, move!
But that's kind of great, though. I mean, now it's come full circle. Now he's kind of the grumpy guy. And he makes a fine cookie.
Yes. Thank you so much
for
that.
His cookies are wonderful.
That is just one more reason why that guy needs to just die.
Destroy my heroes. Heroes right in front of me. Thanks so much.
A lot of people don't realize that part of him. And I appreciate that people heard that story from when I was a child. Now, hopefully that 5-year-old will grow up hating him as well.
Oh, we have a snuff watch.
Uh-oh.
Oh, really?
Oh, let's get Tim in here.
I'm not sitting in that chair.
I need a cricket sound effect. Did Tim leave?
I don't think so.
Scotty J?
He must have left.
Scotty J, can you ascertain whether or not Tim left? In the meantime,
I don't feel that it's proper for me to sit and talk over and over about how much I hate Paul Newman.
It's Pencil. He's gone.
Well, for the love of... Okay,
why don't you just report it then? Not,
well, let's take a break. We'll do the snuff watch on the other side. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We're going to be back after this. We'll talk a little bit more to Dennis Spitzenberger. We'll do a snuff watch coming up at the top of the hour. Like us, Don and Mike at 7, and John and Jeff at 11 o'clock. Stay there. We're back after this. How long until the music is on? 4 minutes, something like that?
About four.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is with a heavy heart. We're going to have to find a new old person to use as our benchmark. And everybody thinks it's Abe Vigoda. Not Abe Vigoda. He's still alive. But the other old guy who has been our benchmark for, is that guy alive or dead? Well, now he's dead. MrWizardStudios.com. It is with deep sadness that we regret to inform you of the passing of Don Herbert, the one and only Mr. Wizard. Don lost his battle with cancer today. Well, he's 90. What are you going to do? Lost his battle with cancer today, June 12, 2007 at 9 a.m., 1 month shy of his 90th birthday. He was lovingly surrounded by his family, who are at once saddened by his passing and relieved that he is no longer suffering from cancer. We all feel lucky to have known and worked with Don and have been honored to carry on his legacy as an original and truly legendary figure in the worlds of television and science education. He has been inspirational and influential in so many ways and on so many lives, and we are comforted by the fact that his groundbreaking work and legacy will continue to inspire many more people for years to come. Thank you so much to all of you for your support and sympathy. Sincerely, the family of Don Herbert, the one and only Mr. Wizard. So, what, we got like 2 minutes? Something like that?
Yeah.
I have no idea what to do. Dennis, what's coming up on the show this weekend?
Well, I actually had three things. One is we have, the first thing would be, we do have a great show this weekend. We actually have Mikey.
You know, can I just tell you this? We've had a big-ass box of Charleston chews.
You know what? Screw all that. I purposely took a rag and wiped the entire counter down.
I'm not saying the counter was dirty.
Hey, you know what? If it's in the, was it in the garbage?
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
No. I'm not complaining.
I wiped the whole counters down.
Dennis, you're being a little...
You're being defensive.
No.
I appreciate the fact that the counter was clean. I appreciate the fact that there was not too much chocolate on the keyboard.
And it's never, ever been a question that it's you.
And I'm not saying it was you. I'm just...
I hog-tied Matt Peterson before he came in the studio.
See, why do you say Matt Peterson?
Oh, like there's somebody else. Can I just get... Okay, listen.
I'm just saying the idea that you can't get through... And by you, I mean anybody. Can't get through a two-hour period without 700 calories worth of chocolate.
Hey,
it's like carrying around a little insulin kit with you, you know, well, just in case.
I can't make it 2 hours without drinking four Red Bulls, you know. Right. It's the way I am.
All right.
One, we have Mikey from Orange County Choppers, a show that's on Discovery and TLC. Yes. Great. Really, he is the flamboyant, real charismatic part of that show.
Does he sing Meatloaf?
No, he looks like Meatloaf. He looks like Meatloaf, and he's neither gay nor speaks for their community. The other is, I'm going to be talking about the Kia Rondo, which is a cool little kind of Honda element for the poor folk. Or not poor folk, but the reality folk. Giveaways for NHRA tickets here in July. And I think the other one would be, thanks to the audience that listens to this show, that never turns their radio off AM 970 and listens to us on the weekend. Like that guy who now also hates Paul Newman. And then, of course... If you actually like the program, you have to go to a website called pdxautoclick.com to find all the cars. It's like the dig of the auto shopping market.
Thefark.com of the auto world.
Yes, if you want to find, if you know, like we were talking about this, you don't look at 4,000 websites, you don't read 500 newspapers, you just go to one place in Portland, find your cars, pdxautoclick.com. If you go there, my show might stay on the air. That's like a pandering way of saying, please go there.
Awkward.
Yeah, I gotta be me.
Dennis Pitzenbarger from PDXAutoClick.com. Listen to him weekdays 9 to 11. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondent Steve Kassenbaum, Lisa Goddard, and James Roop. Join us tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show when our guest will be...
Not Mr. Wizard.
Steve, why do you gotta... No.
Aww.
It's too soon. All right. Rick Emerson Show producer David Avery, Sarah Dillon, Scotty J, Tim Riley, and all that. See you tomorrow now. Bye.
I can't find anything.
I didn't bike for the retarded. Sue me!
You didn't?
No! Shut your mouth!